Show. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Hey, looky here, it's Monday, and I'm dancing. Nah, it's kind of nice to be back to something resembling normal. I'm Bob Kincaid, this is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network, headonradionetwork.com, your home for liberal, progressive conversation radio, available on a variety of platforms throughout the interweb tubes. You know, it's not a big truck. Places like iTunes Radio, places like Stitcher Internet Radio, places like TuneIn Radio and Tuner Internet Radio, and probably a host of others of which I have not yet been made aware. Lots of redos to the website, lots of hard work on the part of John Fox in the last few days. Many thanks to John for that. You'll note that if you go to headonradionetwork.com and you click the player, it's a one-click player now. Just that easy. So, again, many thanks to John Fox. And more changes coming, more improvements. Eventually we will add, he tells me, a Facebook and Twitter feed, which would be really cool. Regular broadcast week this week. Hallelujah, glory. Assuming, of course, that the power and the interweb tubes stay on. Everything's kind of conditioned on that. I mean, we can get the power going. The Internet's where the dodginess seems to enter the equation. But no reason to think we won't. So sit back and relax for the coming week. Program note. We'll be on the road next week. Probably going to take off long about Saturday. Head for D.C. Work to be done on the AIC Act. Lots of work to be done on the AIC Act. And with that in mind, fear not. Let me say now, we will continue to broadcast from D.C. Had a fascinating conversation Friday evening, and I think we can do a couple of different things. We're going back and forth on whether or not Agnes wants to go this time. If she doesn't, she'll sit here and we'll route the show through the studio here. But if not, we'll just do it via Skype. And do all the telephony via Skype, because everybody who's, you're sitting at a computer anyway, so Skype shouldn't be much of a challenge, and it doesn't cost anything. So, anyway, we will be broadcasting live from the Appalachian Community Health Emergency Campaign headquarters on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. next week, if all goes as planned. Because, frankly, We've got a big task ahead of us. And thanks, by the way, to all of you who are contacting your various members of Congress. I've heard that Representative Barbara Lee is being contacted. I know that our buddy Andy is reaching out in a couple of different directions. And I know that there's a lot of contact being made throughout the country, and it is much appreciated. And you are how we can succeed in this long struggle. You tell your members of Congress that you want to see the AIC Act passed, H.R. 5959, and we will build the momentum we need. And like I've said before, don't assume that just because maybe you've got a right-winger for a member of Congress that there's no sense in you calling, because there is. Because after all, what the AIC Act does talk about, among other things, is the ceaseless, remorseless, relentless, soulless, conscienceless poisoning of babies in the womb. And if a right-winger can't get their head around that, then what kind of right-winger are they? So, no, there's no call that's a, there's no call that's a bad call. Please bear that in mind. To learn more and see what the AKE Act is all about, simply go to acheact.org, acheact.org. And you can the bill itself is there. You can read it, and there's a lot of other material as well. So go there and get active. Please? Yeah. So lo and behold, it is, as mentioned, Monday. And you know, well, you know what that means. Yes, indeed.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know. Morons.
That's right, step right up. Hurry, hurry, hurry. It's Moran Monday on the horn. You can't tell a Moran without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans you just can't tell them much. That's right, right behind this thin cybernetic veil of cybernetic thin canvas reside a host of right-wing Morans, violent Morans, hateful Morans, funny Morans, Morans one and all, who share the commonality of the fact that they are of, by, and for the right wing. No one will be admitted after the first 5 minutes of Moran Monday. Step right up, hurry right in. For nothing, for less than 5 cents per hour of program, you can witness Moranity in its rarest and most profound form. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. We start this Moran Monday with a little shout-out to a nearby Moran. Namely, one not far away at all over in Beckley. Got a nice little email from our buddy Jim earlier today. The radio signal over there actually reaches Jim. I can't hear it over here, not that I would even bother to listen. I remember well back when the right winger across the river was going on and on and on about how the new river, you know, which is right here. I mean, if you were talking about some river in, say, the steppes of the steppes of Russia or something, okay, so maybe we don't know which way that one flows. But this one flows, you know, right under his nose. Ooh, that rhymes. And I remember when he was talking about how it flows south. Well, it doesn't. It flows north. That's how it's able to join up with the Gauley River and form the Great Kanawha, which flows into the Ohio, which flows into the Mississippi, which flows into the Gulf of Mexico and goes the world round. Way too complicated for a right-wing Moran. This Moran, Steve is his name, Jim wrote this morning to say, while dealing with a blown power strip, I heard two items. First, Steve-O was answering a question about seashells being found here, and you know, that there's all kinds of stuff under the ground here, because this, millions of years ago, or 6,000 if you're a fundamentalist young earther, this place was underwater, and there are seashells, and trilobites, you know, one of the earliest forms of life, that kind of stuff. Fascinating. Underground coal miners would look up at the roof where they were working and see the imprint from millions of years ago of giant fern fronds and old ancient fern tree stumps and palm tree stumps. It was quite warm here. It was a swamp. Wet, warm swamp. And so,
You know, the young earthers think that, I don't know, that the and they are, after all, Morans. The young earthers think that those seashells were placed in the rock strata by Satan. Satan. To confuse the unbelievers. And our right-wing Moran in Beckley. What a delightful moment. Explained with complete credulity, they're atne ute aitbre, if you one what I eme. We have to say that in a language they don't understand. Don't want to hurt their feelings or anything. So you've got ignorant right-wing caller and ignorant right-wing host talking about why there would be seashells under the ground in the rock strata of West Virginia, to wit, central Appalachia. And with what one can presume was only presume was a straight face, the right-wing host explained to the right-wing caller that the seashells came to be in West Virginia because of the movement of Titanic plates. No, really. Titanic plates. As Jim informs, he also went on to explain how he likes to eavesdrop on other people's conversations. He was quite surprised to find out from a caller that the Titanic was a ship and tectonic plates are what move around on the surface of the earth. Really, caller? Yeah. As Jim notes, he was also asked if he had ever had his nose broken when someone slammed a bedroom window on it while he was listening in. Jim signs off saying, "My blade is sharp, my mind uncanny, he'll mind his manners or I'll spank his fanny." Get him, Jim. Yep. Titanic plates. Probably from the Franklin Mint. Titanic plates. Oh, we've got a lot of morons this evening, but that just gets us into the spirit of the moment. Those Titanic plates slamming into each other, and you know, there's icebergs involved, and yeah, right, Lottie. No, just the Titanic plates. No Titanic cups and saucers. No Titanic gravy boats. No Titanic shrimp forks. Just Titanic plates. Well, okay, Benedict, we will take our victories where we can find them. Benedict in the chat room noting, damn Bob, at least he didn't say the shells came from Noah's flood. Give him a chance. He'll get around to it. Noah's flood. Texas Betsy noting, what? Not Teutonic plates? Oh! I have Titanic plates in my spine. Ow! So, that's what you get, you know, that's what you get with a Moran. You know, those Titanic plates. But no, there's lots of places to go with Moran Monday today. I have like I said, there are mean Morans, funny Morans. You know, this one was funny, Titanic plates. Well, I actually pulled this out. One of the things we don't do around here is take the local paper. It's just very expensive. But I saw this, and I had to purloin it. It's close to closing time anyway, so I just tore these two little stories out of the paper. Probably makes me a bad person. Of course, this moron, this is a mean moron. This is a hateful moron. This is a vicious moron. By definition, therefore, she comes from Texas. A Texas woman, this from the Associated Press. A Texas woman has pleaded guilty to injury to a child, acknowledging she beat her 2-year-old daughter and glued the girl's hands to a wall. There's another story about a tormented child. We'll get to that too. As you'll see, it's possible that I could have saved this for prayer meeting Wednesday, but no. This felt like it just needed, no. This needed to make it into Moran Monday. Just unavoidable. Yeah, the Dallas Morning News reported that Elizabeth Escalona, back last September 7th, Elizabeth Escalona's daughter went into a coma. The 2-year-old's brothers and sisters, and or, said that their mama had kicked the girl in the stomach repeatedly and hit her with various objects before gluing her hands to the wall. Really. She didn't have much to say Elizabeth Escalona. As she left the court. No, not much to say at all. After having pleaded guilty, her only remark was this. Only God can judge me. That's all I gotta say. Only God can judge me. That's all I gotta say. And the judgment will be about beating, kicking, stomping, and gluing your child's hands to the wall. Over potty training. At 2. Potty training. Only God can judge me. Now, I think the state of Texas will judge her as well. Only God can judge me for beating a 2-year-old little girl into a coma and gluing her hands to the wall. This is one of those stories that I did not share with Agnes because these stories make her cry because she loves babies. And she starts talking about things like going somewhere and doing... She can get rather graphic in describing how she would like to mete punishment out to somebody like this. But that's Texas, Stan. We also have a moron in Georgia, Stan. A Georgia couple was arrested this week, according to published reports, on charges of child cruelty and false imprisonment. Because their 15-year-old adopted daughter had to be rescued from them. Samuel and Diana Franklin had punished her for not finishing schoolwork by making her live for up to 6 days at a time in a chicken coop behind their house. They also made her wear a canine shock collar. Georgia Bureau of Investigation agent Wayne Smith said, "I've never seen anything like this." A shock collar was found at the home. The young girl, the 15-year-old, said that, yes, she would receive shocks for not doing chores the right way. Diana Franklin explained to a neighbor that they was just doing what the Bible says by putting a shock collar on their 15-year-old daughter and delivering charges of electricity into her neck and making her live in a chicken coop. Four counts of false imprisonment and 12 counts of cruelty to children were levied against Diana Franklin. Eight counts of false imprisonment and 8 counts of child cruelty against Samuel Franklin. They were naturally released on bond. And yeah, she was homeschooled, the young girl. What can you say about something like that? Honestly. It renders me, well, you can tell. It renders me almost speechless. When you think about the circumstances under which children wind up in situations where they are orphaned for either legal or other reasons, where they do not have a parent, neither a mother nor a father, foster care is difficult. When it's done at its best, it can be life-saving. When it is done poorly, it can be hell. And at some point in time, a court, looked at Samuel and Diana Franklin and decided that they would be good adoptive parents, and some agency recommended them. Is there any doubt that the agency was likely a Christian adoption agency? I'd give you 70-30 on it. And all kinds of findings of fact have to be made in order for people to adopt a child. She was adopted at the age of 13. And this went on almost from the moment the adoption was complete. We're just doing what the Bible says. Because, you know, it's there in 2 Thessalonians. Await ye until the discovery of electricity and the manufacture of shock collars thereof. Patiently await ye the invention of the battery and the discovery of the infrared spectrum of light. And having so patiently awaited, yea, verily, attach thy shock collar to thy recalcitrant adopted daughter who does not do the chores in godly fashion, and let her rip. Jim, what the hell? Monsters. Who vets these folks? Jeffrey Dahmer? Sadly, no. I am almost dead on certain that from the beginning of the process to the end of the process, they were all Christian. And I'm sure the prospective mommy and daddy said, well, we're just going to raise her up the way the Bible says to. Just doing what the Bible says. Place thy recalcitrant child among the chicken poo in the chicken coop. Morons. Morons. And, you know, where do these right-wing religious morons get their advice? Well, this comes courtesy of our good buddy Isaac. This is where they get their advice.
This is Brad, who says, I've been with my girlfriend for 3 years, and we're planning on getting married. Here's the thing. I'm a Christian. She's a Muslim. People have told me to break it off with her, but she seems open to the faith, and I'm worried that leaving her will turn her off to Christianity, and it isn't exactly Christ-like. What do you think?
Yes, it is Christ-like. Be not unequally joined together, yoked together with the unbelievers. In the Old Testament, they were forbidden to intermarry with heathen. Now, this girl sounds very sweet, and it may be that, you know, you can, out of the love that you have, that she'll accept
heathen.
The Lord.
But they've dated for 3 years. I mean,
well, he obviously hadn't had much of an impact on her.
Yeah.
But no way. No way. I mean, she'll want to do her.
He really did, didn't he? He hasn't had much of an impact on her. Not going there, not going there, not going there, not going there. Can't make me. Won't do it. God, I want to.
Muslim thing, and you want to do it.
Wait. What?
He obviously hadn't had much of an impact on her.
Yeah.
But no way. No way. I mean, she'll want to do her Muslim thing, and you'll want to do your Christian thing, and there'll be a constant...
Wait. You want to do your... She wants to do her Muslim thing, and you want to do your Christian thing. Pat, I know you're struggling, but what would that thing be that you're... Stop it, Bob. Stop it. Stop it, Spock. You're killing him.
Hey, no way. I mean, she'll want to do her Muslim thing, and you'll want to do your Christian thing, and there'll be a constant struggle and strife.
Mm-hmm.
Walk away. But maybe that she will come to the Lord. Why don't you get in prayer and say, I love this girl. I ask, Lord, that you would bring her to yourself, that she would know the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't work, then say, I'm sorry. Goodbye. But no, it's not Christian to walk away from somebody that you're going to marry that would be in violation of God's will.
It's funny how we twist and turn God's word has to say to make it right for what we want.
Christian.
Ah, no, she didn't. Yes, she did. You know, the beautiful thing about God being a God of irony is the fact that irony is lost on, and these people are heathens in the Church of Irony. Isn't it funny? Wait, I got to hear that again.
Well, a marriage that would be in violation of God's will or word.
It's funny how we twist and turn God's word has to say to make it right for what we want.
Christian becomes whatever seems to be nice and friendly. No. Jesus said, I didn't come to, you know, bring peace, but a sword. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Notice how he starts giggling when he starts talking about a sword? A sword. Where are your hands, Pat?
He's not gentle, Jesus, meek and mild. He really isn't.
Yeah. By the way, the folks over at rightwingwatch.org found that. Caught that. No, Marty, I will not go there. Maybe... You know, that's where people like the Franklins get their parenting advice and so forth. You know, what is it? Deuteronomy 18, 18 to 21, something like that. 20 and 21, the part about stoning disobedient children. Yeah. Corey in the Free State of Louisville said, adoption can serve a logic. Gays and single parents who have good, stable households to provide loving environments for foster children? Hell no! Abusive, cruel, negligent Christian households? Absolutely! Because people will automatically ignore anything and everything negative if you have Christian anywhere in the description. Sickening! And it is. And it is. But that's the truth. Remember, this is Georgia. So, if a gay couple had wanted to adopt that young woman, there probably would have been marchers in the street talking about how it's a perversion. But, you know, Samuel and Diana Franklin, Christians, want to put a shock collar on their daughter, light her up a little bit because she's not washing the dishes fast enough or singing Nearer My God to Thee while she's doing it. Sure thing. Brutal. And they are. They are. You know, the newspaper, I guess it was Friday, featured a story about a woman who is a minister with the United Churches of Christ. And she was holding a seminar trying to reach hate-filled so-called Christians to teach them out of their hate for gay people. And one of the things she pointed out was that the book of this, that, and, you know, somewhere, you know, what the lady was talking about there. You know, these Christians will pervert God's word to make it suit their needs, their hates. And she pointed out that, among other things, being gay is called an abomination in the Old Testament. So, she noted, is, of course, wearing mixed-fibered clothing or eating shrimp. And she went on to explain that abomination merely means non-traditional. Not take them out and kill them. Non-traditional. Try to explain that to Pat Robertson. Good luck. David in Maine pointing out Muslim Fang just calls for an auto-tune mashup. Maybe Cat Stevens will have a new pop resurgence with this anthem. We all got to go watch out for that Muslim Fang. That Pat Robertson, he's just so hip. Yeah. Oh, but we got Morans upon Morans upon Morans. You know, how do you, what's right, when somebody, I mean, it's like calling the old what's her name, that nasty woman on the radio that calls herself a doctor, had nudie pictures all over creation. Dr. Laura. Yeah, that's it. Why would you go to Pat Robertson for advice? Why would you go to a former liquor officer during the Korean War for marriage advice? It's just sad. But it is. It's Moran Monday, and we've got lots of stupid. We've got lots of mean. Willard Romney's always out there. So is the Florida Lieutenant Governor. And so, of course, is Fox News. Sean Hannity having a fulminating fit today on the radio. Four more years of Obama will end America, the country we love as we know it. I told you it's going to be a long way to November, and it's only going to get weirder and crazier and crazier and weirder. Without let up. But it's about 23 minutes before the hour, so let's close off the filibuster for the moment and go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
Sandra.
Hey, so, you know, I just been wondering if, you know, Mitt Romney might want to get in touch with some of them secret black supporters. It's just, I ain't never seen nothing like the Romney campaign. It's like out of this world, you know?
I mean, well, does anybody ever walk in and go, guys, do you realize how weird people think we are?
Oh, my God. No, when he came out with that, I'm like, wait a minute. You bomb big time. People booing your ass at the NAACP meeting. And you're going to bust out on Radio Rwanda about, well, I got some secret black people who support me. Oh, shit. I'm like, wow. That one just left me. I really thought, man, this is...
It's like some... they're ninjas or something? I mean...
It's just way bizarre. It's like, are you kidding? So that was weird. And that just goes up there along with the let's talk about inequality in the quiet rooms and, you know, my offshore accounts, you know, look over here, don't look over there, and... you know, I'm people are going
and the one that knocked me down, and Eugene Finnerman was writing about it earlier today, was the retroactive retirement.
Well, no, the retroactive. I mean, that's just begging for a piss take of monumental proportions. Like, I don't know. You know, maybe Obama can give him a retroactive apology when he gets reelected. I mean, I don't really know, but you can just go on and on with that. I mean, it's just so. Listen, you know, his own people coming on the TV talking about, well, he's not a felon. And as Sam Cedar pointed out, well, shit, if you start now with that, that's a problem.
I
don't know.
You're in the hole, and it's time to stop digging. Well, my God, Sandra, when the governor of Alabama, Stan, says release the returns.
Well, I think, you know, a part of it with the returns, you know, it could just be that A-hole is just an arrogant pig and he ain't going to release shit because He's Mitt Romney. You know what I mean? King of the world. And
right, but you know what's interesting?
It's that simple. It could be nothing illegal about it except for him moving his wealth around legally. But I just think it might be more of a, you know, F you. I don't have to do this. I'm not going to, you know? It plays right into his
Did I read correctly that he gave 23 years of tax records to the McCain campaign when they were considering him?
And they probably did not consider him after that move, too. That's another thing that's hilarious. I mean, he would have. McCain went with that crazy Palin as opposed to Mitt Romney. So, you know, what's the problem? Something ain't right.
Oh, I didn't even think about it that way, but yeah.
And it's just like, wow. And the thing is, the Bain stuff, I think, you know, most voters could be like, oh, whatever, I'm not interested, because it's, you know, it's a bit whatever. But the tax stuff, I think, him not releasing it is like people are sort of thinking, well, what's that about? And your wealth is kind of funny, i.e., it doesn't produce anything except for profits for you to line your pockets and for your friends. And I think the more people harp on it, the more your regular voter can see that and say, well, no, you know, this ain't really happening, and Romney's going to lose some of them uneducated crack-crats that he needs.
Yeah, no kidding. Well,
and
I mean,
he's going to lose the election if Obama gets two or three of them white people.
Well, and there were two or three. and that's, you know, I go back to Robert Bentley, the governor of Alabama, because he's trying to be a good soldier as a Republican. He knows what it takes to get the mouth breathers and knuckle walkers out there voting for a billionaire.
Yeah, well, Romney ain't, you know, he's not complying because you're starting to get people, you know, George, it's summer, Will is coming on talking about, oh, you know, what's the problem? See what I'm saying? If that fool is telling him he needs a step right, you know, it's all swirling down the drain. But I think Mitt Romney is so damn arrogant, he really don't care. You know what I mean? He's going to do what the hell he do. He king.
Yeah, and, like Albert said Friday, he's got spaceship money.
Well, yeah, he got spaceship money, but he's also in space. Because if he thinks that he's going to be able to roll up, like, on Obama, and people are like, I'm saying to these people, that fool killed folks. What you think he was going to do for the election? You know, they're like, oh, wow, Obama's like, oh, no. I'm like, in the meanwhile, he'll take out people all over the fucking world. Why the hell he ain't going to take a Romney apart? I mean, he's given a master class. Obama may not be able to rule, but that bitch can run an election. He got this fool looking as crazy as I don't know what. Apologize. It's like, dude, you overweight. If you asking that Negro to apologize, what'd he do? He ran out. Ad with that bitch singing, and then Romney tried to run an ad, and they said, sorry, copyright, and shut that shit down in an hour. It's gone.
Beautiful.
Because it's Al Green. It's like, no, you can't do that. And so that ad is gone. So he's pathetic, man. I don't know what he's running, but it ain't working too well.
And trying to build up some buzz about who he might, you know, who the boring white guy's going to be that he selects, and running out Condi Rice.
She ain't that dumb. My girl ain't going out like that.
Yeah.
I will claim her on this phone call. Don't do it, sweetie. Get back on 30 Rock. Stay there. Shit.
But the beautiful thing about that is the only people's heads exploded. Our buddy Dickland over at the Southern Baptist Convention.
What about Condi?
Yeah. Oh, he done had a hissy.
Oh, why? He can't, too many darkies, right? Couldn't cope with that.
No. She don't hate she doesn't love the little fetuses.
Oh, that's right.
She's all pro-choice and stuff. And so Dickland is real head up.
Okay, well, no, but see, but I don't
but,
know
but
why
that, but see, that's
deep.
But that's code, too.
No, it's cold. No, yeah, also, yeah, you know, why would, but my thing is, why would she do it when she could, you know, drone strike the whitest man in the world, the head of the NFL, and take that over with?
Yeah, no kidding.
She can get rid of him and roll that up. That's what she said she wants to do.
Well, remember, George, George,
remember
back when she referred to George as my husband? Well,
no.
Remember, George wanted to be commissioner of baseball. I don't understand.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I don't understand this sport thing.
Well, you know, it goes with the whole let's make war all the time, I think.
Well, more than likely. But
anyway, I mean, you know, so he's probably gonna pick some. I don't know what he's gonna pick. Someone had the nerve to mention that horrible, which is a horror show, Liz Cheney.
Oh Jesus!
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's a nasty ass ticket. Go ahead, do that. Run that one out so Biden can come out and slam your ass again.
It's gonna. Did you see? I guess what would we call it? The translation of Willard's speech at the NAACP convention that Isaac sent around.
Oh, yes.
Oh God, I will scare your ass.
I mean, it was just, you know, whatever. I suppose, you know, I guess he went there and did it, but. You know, he had to buffer that shit with the secret black folks, and then he flew some black people in the audience. Did you hear about that story?
No, what?
Yeah, it was some plants, apparently, and they paid some Negroes to clap politely for his dumb white ass.
Oh, no.
I was just like...
No, no.
It was just some sort of disaster. I don't know, Mitt Romney. I shouldn't laugh because, you know, he still is not trailing very far because... The economy is, you know, just crap.
Yeah.
What did I hear today? 3 months in a row, retail sales are down. So, you know, Obama can, you know, go crazy all he wants, but that economy needs to get a little bit right.
Well, it would definitely be beneficial if that could happen. But, you know, the LIBOR business. Is it going to get better between now and November? Because, see, he doesn't have till November for it to get better. He's got till, like, next week.
Yeah, I know. It's bad. I mean, the LIBOR thing is, you know, I can't even wrap my head around the just the awesomeness of that little scandal. You know, it's because people, once again, they're not really quite feeling it except when you get whole cities and municipalities about to sue their ass. Because it's trickling down to, you know, practically every transaction that's involving debt has something to do with that. It's just straight up market manipulation. It's really that basic.
Well, it's like the guy at the roulette wheel who's got his foot on a little brake under the table.
But what's really disturbing is, you know, all this information now coming out in England. The Bank of England. So now you have these private banks and this old-ass, the most private bank on the planet, the Bank of England. It all sounds like it was just in cahoots, and the people who are being screwed over, people with loans, people with mortgages, and on and on and on and on. So, you know, it's a huge problem. It's a problem. I don't know where it's going to end up, but it's massive. It's massive. Yeah, I mean, certain countries have different ways of responding. You know, Germany is already talking criminal prosecution. You know, the fraud office in London is making noises. And now, you know, even Eric, I don't do a damn thing, Holder has to start making noise about it, too, because all these institutions are starting to sue, you know?
Yeah. I mean, on a slightly separate but related note, I read an article from the Sun Sentinel today talking about Deutsche Bank's role in the subprime crisis in South Florida, and how they've got title to 1,400 empty homes in Dade and Broward and one other county, and won't take care of the properties. And
well,
so, all of these thug, and that's what they are, Sandra, they're thug banks.
Yeah, well, no, are you talking about that one, are you talking about San Bernardino and what they're trying to do?
Well, that I don't know.
One of those cities, I know they're having bankruptcy problems, but they're also about to use eminent domain to force the banks to pay down some of the principal. So you're getting some cram downs in the most interesting ways coming up, because basically the debt load is not sustainable. Look to Iceland, which eliminated all the underwater mortgages for their people there, right?
Yeah, and got well.
They did it, and it's like working out quite well for them. And, you know, states are so dire, they're going to start responding in kind in this country, too. Watch. I mean, it can't go on. And with this LIBOR thing, you know, banks are supposed to operate under an umbrella of trust. Don't laugh. Hold back.
Fiduciary.
That's gone. You know, so why would you want to deal with them? And how dare they demand, you know, they can't keep extracting like a parasite. So who knows? You know, the politicians are bought off. That's a bit of a problem.
A bit.
And, you know, so I don't, but I do think that, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's going to be going on, but that scandal is big. It's big news.
Wasn't Florida one of the states that we were discussing a year or so ago, where the status of title is a total train wreck?
Yeah, Florida. Mm.
And these banks can't prove clear title.
Well, you know, I don't know if you know about Florida, but Florida had the biggest housing meltdown crisis in the history of the world between 1926 and right up to the market crash. You know that?
Yeah, that, yes.
It is a massive, you know, land speculative bubble that was, you know, rivals any bubble in history. So it's well baked in. That was mixed with a banking crisis at the same time in Florida. Shysters, and I mean any kind of graft, it has a really long history in mortgage, and so it's like repeat rents and then do it again in Florida. Because I was listening to Mike Malloy, he was going on about how shady Florida is, but if you just look up the Florida housing bubble of the 1920s, it's a fascinating history. Oh my God, it's amazing.
Well, it's like Grift University down there.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. I mean, Florida is just, yeah. I mean, I feel bad for, you know, our Horn family members down there, because I mean, it's, you know, now you have this TB. I mean, what's happening?
Oh, that's terrifying.
You know, I'm like, oh my God. So you have that. And it's just, and that felon, that's the governor, it really is quite, I don't know. And they're still trying to stop people from voting, you know what I mean?
Yeah. In fact, they said they got their new database and they're going to re-ramp up their suppression effort today.
Yeah, but the thing about that whole database thing is another thing, you know, the bigger picture on that to me is, oh, wow, you know, this is how the government is going to use data that's supposed to be used for something else. Oops, now we're using it for this. See, that's the problem with this incessant data mining. It's like, oh, wait, wasn't that supposed to be used for something else? And it's being shifted lickety-split to a new use. And people are like, well, I don't have anything to hide. Keep saying that shit.
Right, because it doesn't. Even if you don't, it can be made into something.
Yeah, you know, when you just have anyway. That's what I was struck by with the government sanctioning them to use that. It's like, wait, hold up, what?
Oh yeah, and I'm getting a lot of email in. It is San Bernardino.
Oh okay.
Yeah.
And
It's like when I found out from Matt Osborne that you can buy batch Twitter follows, and it turns out that Flush Flimball, his Liberty Babes or what, you know, Babes for Rush or whatever. They're all from India. They were purchased. And, you know, that stuff is out. You know, it's a nasty little place, the internet, if you're not very careful. And you don't want to be.
You can just buy, you can, what, these companies will, what, get, set up fake accounts and then sell you like 1,000 followers or something?
Yeah. And it was, you know, that's just sad.
That's, now see, that's well pathetic. I don't even understand, you know, how bizarre. Yeah. That's good work if you can get it. Damn.
Well, you know, this is from the same side of the political aisle that offers, you know, a nickel a post.
Oh, right.
Did you get your nickel?
Oh, no. Oh, well, so, you know, what's the hold up with Penn State? That shit should be shut all the way down, right?
Well, did you read Zirin's column?
Who? Zirin?
Yeah.
No, I didn't get a chance. It's in my email. I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, he made a pretty compelling case against not shutting it down because it would be a form of collective punishment.
Oh, okay.
And I was sitting there thinking, yeah, you know, we don't like it when it's done to the Palestinians. It's, and you know, the UN generally frowns on it, and but something's. I think the best thing they could do would just be to give Joe Paterno's statue there in Happy Valley the Saddam Hussein treatment.
Well, didn't it have a halo around it or something real crazy?
Oh God, I think they decorate it periodically, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a halo. Did you hear what Nike did?
Oh, what? No.
They removed, apparently out at their the main campus of you know, the industrial supers, the what a giant thing, you know, out there, headquarters. I guess they had daycare for their workers' children.
Yeah.
And it was named the Joe Paterno Child Development Center.
Oops.
Yeah, they took Joe Paterno's name off of it late last week. Probably a good idea.
Wow.
But I think...
Well, no, because the report was just like, wow. I mean, they just... The thing that was so disgusting was, you know, not one hand was lifted, a finger was lifted to help any of these victims. But forget about hiding it. They didn't even bother to try to help these kids, you know?
No, they didn't. And what's more, Joe was out there negotiating himself a better deal while the whole thing was going on.
Mm.
And that's just creepy.
Well, hell is hot. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. Throw it.
You know?
Throw another log on the fire for Joe.
Shit, man, because that's, you know, that's ugly. That's some ugly stuff. But, so, but they probably will give them some sort of sanctions, right? Or I thought that the government, the Department of Education, was investigating them because it's, you know, state. It's a state school, right?
Right.
Mm.
But I don't know that the NCAA will do anything because, well, I mean, one of the saddest things about Joe Paterno. Did you read the unreleased letter? He had written a letter before he died.
Yeah.
And the family decided not to release it.
Oh, well.
And now it's out.
Oh, well, what did it say?
You know, it's, you know, to the bitter end. You know, none of this touches Penn State football. No one can say anything was done wrong by the football program. Football.
Mm. Well, you know.
Just clueless. Utterly.
Damn, he really, his legacy is jacked up then.
Oh, it's over.
Man, that's incredible, really. Just still went on about the protecting the shield, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, that it's just, I read it and it was just sad and tragic and sorry and ugh.
That's ugly business.
Yeah, and had knowledge on, like what you said. It's not just that they didn't stop it, they didn't even try to help.
Well, that's what I mean. It's just kind of like, you know, wow. That's what it was really extra disturbing to me. Really too much. Well, I mean, Well, I can say something, one nice thing in the sports world, you know, and of course I have to shout out old Serena. Shit, you know, didn't get a whole bunch of play, but that was her fifth
title. Yeah, that's five.
Five, she's 30. You know, I'm just like, where, you know, credit, please. I know there's a lot of hate out there for them, but shit.
Yeah, and the thing is, did it in rather workmanlike fashion.
Yeah, she just dispatched them one after another. I'm like, oh, and meanwhile.
Yeah, crickets.
Anyway, so, I don't know. I was sort of taken aback by that. I'm like, my goodness, because I know her sister's struggling with some
she's not well.
Yeah,
Venus
isn't. You know. But anyway, I don't know. I just, all the sports, you know, I mean, it's just so nasty with that Penn State stuff. My goodness.
And you don't, you know, you just don't know what it is. I mean, there's no way to really comprehend what it is that needs to or should be done. I mean, do you tell them no bowl games for 5 years?
Well, I mean, it's just,
because one of their assistant coaches turned out to be a rapist.
I don't really know. I just think that, I mean, it's such a, you know, such a larger than football issue. It's just gruesome. So yeah, I don't know. I just,
well, and that's that's the argument that Zirin makes, is that you can't punish somebody whose life is selling hot dogs on game day.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have no problem embracing that argument, you know. It's just kind of, once again, you know, the powerful just sort of skating on by, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, what kind of appropriate punishment can you dish out to Spanier, you know, the guy who was the president of the university?
Yeah, jail sounds kind of okay.
Yeah, what is the likelihood of that happening?
No, I know, but there's a couple other people who won't go on trial, right, that are actually facing...
Well, he's one of them.
Oh, okay, so he's one of the three.
Yeah.
Because I know there's three of them. I didn't know. Oh, okay, well, that's interesting.
But I'm sure he's lawyered up to the nines. And the thing is, all they've got are, you know, they basically got the kind of white collar charges, you know, about lying to the government or, you know, that kind of stuff.
So
Scooter Libby, Scooter Libby stuff.
No, but they might be sued within an inch of their lives too, though, right?
Yeah, that's the civil side is probably far more terrifying.
Yeah, no, I would think that would be a real problem for them. I don't. Yeah. Anyway, it's too much. Too much.
I got a feeling the endowment fund at Penn State's going to take a big hit. But you know, remember they got a Republican governor now, and they've got and so all Republicans will always circle the wagons. It doesn't matter what happened. If little children got gang raped, they'll still circle the wagons to protect the money. So they're probably sweating. They're probably sweating legal culpability all the way to the state house. It is, after all, a state school.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, I'm sure the tentacles are far because it's such a it's too much.
So it'll be interesting to watch it shake out. And nobody in college football feels at all comfortable. And that's probably the wrong word. But I mean, I imagine the Big Ten with its lofty, because you know, while the SEC is down there and yeah, we're the SEC and we will kick your ass, the Big Ten prides itself on, you know, integrity and academics and that, you know, the that whole rubber mask facade is just off. And one of the things that Zirin mentions is the spectacularly underreported rape scandal at Notre Dame.
Oh, yes.
In the chat room, I'm reading here. Benedict said, decertify the Penn State program entirely. A message must be sent to other schools that this conduct will not be tolerated at all. And that's an appropriate initial response. But I don't give a damn what happens to Graham Spanier. But I do worry about some guy or some woman trying to put food on their family.
Well, especially since they have sort of deindustrialized to the point where football is all there is for an economic base.
Right. That's the thing. When you get into state college, when you get into the environs around State College, Pennsylvania, practically everything is touched to one degree or another by the football program.
Well, it's the same thing with South Bend. I mean, that's the,
sure.
That's the problem there, too.
Tuscaloosa, you know? Alabama, Auburn, Alabama, Athens, Georgia, Gainesville, Florida, Columbia, South Carolina. You know, I mean, there's state government and stuff.
Yeah.
But the university is a huge presence, and it is, you know, it's very much, and you know this far better than I probably because you've traveled more extensively, but, Sandra, the idea of university is a radically different one here from what it is in the rest of the world. Because here, universities are industries. Whereas, you know, not so much in Europe or Asia. They're learning centers. Whereas in the United States, a huge university is a daggum business.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it has feeders to, you know, industries, government, you know what I mean? It's all sort of intertwined and, you know, to the point where it's shutting out students at this point. I don't know what they are, you know?
Yeah.
Because no one can afford to go.
And you know, the idea that, you know, you're going to, a bachelor's degree gets you almost nothing now. And it's going to cost you $100,000 to get something that won't get you a job that you can make the payments with.
Yeah, right. Well, no, listen, I'm having that firsthand experience myself.
I wasn't gonna make it so overt, but no, you are living it right now.
But you know, but on the other hand, there's blood from stone, if you get my drift.
Yeah. Believe me, I do.
And what's the other one I was, it's not funny, but of course I'm laughing at it. You know, they have this whole sort of idea of, you know, student loan, expatriates, you know, people who have left the U.S., got the hell out because they can't handle the,
right.
debt repayment for their student loans.
Right. The student loan secret police are remorseless. And you know, there's no problem in ruining somebody. I mean, if we wanted to change this country and do so dramatically, a simple student loan jubilee would absolutely reconfigure the economy.
Yeah, student loan jubilee and lowering the retirement age for Social Security to 62 would instantly change the economy overnight. And if you throw in single payer, well, hell, you know, it would be rip roaring, and you'd get a handful of people losing out, and we know who they would be.
Yeah,
the 1%,
the lobster for lunch bunch.
Right. And but you know, and just those few items we talked about is something that I would say the majority of the citizens would go for. But the fact that we can't make any headway on anything like that should tell you what has happened to the system.
Well, it does. And the fact of the matter is, when you consider, I mean, look, I think probably of all of these, the easiest is simply lifting the cap on Social Security, you know, FICA withholdings.
Well, no, I think it's really interesting because, you know, I don't know what I was listening or reading, but the polling on this is stunning that people aren't even aware that there's a cap. This is the
they don't know.
Starting point. They have no idea that there's a cap. So, and of course, when they're aware that there's a cap, they're like, oh, well, why don't you raise the cap? So, you know, the propaganda is just stunning in, you know, how debilitating it's become for this country.
It would be fascinating to know when the last time was that any for-profit media outlet mentioned the Social Security cap.
No, they don't. It's never discussed. I mean, I had a public policy class, and the whole semester was writing up a paper on some solutions to Social Security, and I had to beat my head against the wall trying to explain to some of them dumbasses about the cap in itself. I couldn't even. These are like senior college students,
yeah.
Bob, and they were, you know, fighting tooth and nail to convince themselves that raising the cap is somehow damaging. And I'm like, son of a bitch, if they ain't propaganda these people to death, you know?
Yep.
Where they're still supporting these policies just to preserve the wealth for the few.
And you know, the more I read of the sellout of the Medicaid provision in the Affordable Care Act, the more disgusted I become, Sandra.
Oh, no, that's a joke. You know, that's a horror show, and, you know, these liberals jumping around talking about robbers is like, are you kidding me?
No, right. Well, are the conservatives screaming for his head on a pike?
Yes, they're stupid. He, you know, he ain't got it closer to Lochner than I was. Like, damn, okay, you know, scary.
Yeah, here we go.
You know, because they're trying to work it so. Because if they mess around with the government, the federal government's ability to dictate monies to the state. Well, hell, that takes apart the whole New Deal framework, don't it?
Yes, it does, and that's what is underway full steam ahead.
Right, and it's just sort of, you know, if you don't understand that the New Deal was, you know, a massive change in how the U.S. was laid out. You know, if you have an understanding of that
between that and the Great Society, sure.
Yeah, you could see where they're heading,
and they have no shame whatsoever. You know, an unsigned memorandum opinion about the Montana Citizens United case, and then, like I said, watch what's coming. Watch what happens in the next term. Watch them. They're gonna invalidate the Voting Rights Act.
Well, no, that is like the biggest non-story going. I mean, they have that case coming up. They can get rid of affirmative action, and they can, you know, take on marriage equality. It's all coming up in this next term.
And it's going to be nasty.
So anyway, yeah, I don't, you know, I'm not too hopeful. And, you know, Roberts is just a horror show, so.
Yeah, there's no the idea that somehow overnight he turned into some liberal. No,
that's a joke. Well, I mean,
because you know, consider Medicaid really is a single payer system.
Well, no, but the idea that you have these people who I think are just criminal are going to say to 4 million people in Florida. Let's take Florida. 4 million people no health care coverage, and this felon is going to say no to that when it's paid for completely for the first 3 years. In Texas, they have millions of people with no health care, and they're saying no. I think Pennsylvania's trying to pull that shit, too.
Well, and understand, you know, theoretically, here in West Virginia, we've got, again, a theoretically Democratic governor. We've got Democratic majorities in both houses of our legislature, and what should be a no-brainer to come out and say, damn right we'll take that federal money and do the Medicaid thing. No. What's the newspaper say in this supposedly Democratic state? Government mulling whether to expand Medicaid.
No, I mean,
that's frightening.
It is too much. And the thing that I just heard is that because this is going on, you heard that the Obama administration has said, well, they can't enforce the mandate on those people. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So they've already said they won't, you know, because that's like some sort of nightmare scenario. Oh, wait, I can't get the Medicaid, but I'm still going to be obligated for this mandate. See, that was the horror show that I was envisioning.
Yeah.
But the administration now has said, well, no, they can't enforce the mandate on these states that don't participate.
Right, and you know, consider, again, because it's where I am, you know who the largest single employer is in the state of West Virginia? Walmart. Now, you work at Walmart, you can't afford Walmart's health care coverage, but you would have qualified for the expanded Medicaid coverage because it's like 139% of the poverty level.
Yeah.
Well, that would have meant Medicaid coverage for, take a family of five, be around $40,000 a year, and they would have had Medicaid coverage.
Well,
can't have that.
No, but the state, they're mulling it over?
Yeah.
Well, I think, I think that a fair amount of them will come around, though. This is the thing. I'm not completely, some of these states, I'm thinking no, but, your state, yeah, I mean, if they're, they haven't come outright and said no, right?
Right.
Right. Well, I don't know. You shouldn't think that they're not. Because it's a lot of money.
Right, but remember, this is also the same governor who refuses to go to the Democratic National Convention because, Obama's got a war on coal. So, no, I'm not at all comfortable. If he thinks, if there is the slightest thought that it might be deemed beneficial to Barack Obama, then our supposedly Democratic governor, Earl Ray Tomlin, will go the exact opposite direction. It's pathetic.
Well, it's just so bizarre because this is like their plan. That's the thing. And, it must just be a racial thing then because...
It is a racial thing.
It's the Heritage Foundation plan. So
yeah.
It's only because a Negro is doing it, I guess, so now I have to oppose it.
Yeah, and consider, you get an idea how bad it is here when you start seeing articles about West Virginia politics in The Economist.
Oh, God.
And I saw it over the weekend. I got it. I think Cindy sent it along to me. And I'm sitting there going, what the? They're writing about, yeah, our politics are so screwed up by coal that it has, it has fallen to the notice of The Economist, for God's sakes. I didn't even know they knew West Virginia existed.
Well, The Economist is having, some bipolar moments because they had a headline, Banksters, and they're calling the financialization the rot in the system. So, no, they are sort of, their neoclassical economic neoliberalism is sort of falling apart. They've been producing some really good articles recently.
Well, maybe that's a sign of them. A good thing for them to be paying attention to a place like this, because this is just squirrely. I mean, we had the disaster, and it was miserable, and Earl Ray Tomlin and some other politicians in this state did all they could to help out a golf tournament, as I went on about at length last week, and then the business with he won't go to the. The state party held its convention and passed a resolution commanding him to support Barack Obama. And he's thumbing his nose at him in a year where he's trying to get elected. I mean, it's crazy here.
No, it's too much. Oh, my God. Well, I don't even know. Don't even have anything amusing to say because it's also, except for the never-ending Romney campaign, but, with that said, I'm still, a bit concerned because I just think that the economy is just not that great.
I've got a lot of concern. I mean, because I know what's going to happen in this state in November. You're going to have people who are brokering the Ten Commandments running, not walking, running to the polls to vote for a billionaire Mormon. How you square that up? I mean, we're talking about people who are so poor they don't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of, and they're going to go vote for Mitt Romney because Obama's got a war on coal. And it's all, again, I come back to it, maybe it's a cheap out, but Sandra, it's all code. Because I remember the people who were interviewed in 2008 after the Democratic primary who said, this country's just not ready for one of them in the White House.
Right. Wasn't it just like across the board 20% in West Virginia because
Yeah, in excess of 20% of the Democrats who voted in the Democratic primary in May of 2008 said they voted for Hillary Clinton because of Barack Obama's skin color.
Well, I'm still tripping on, you know, this police that's talking about, oh, I'm going to shoot Michelle. You know, that fool. And it's just like, where's...
And he's still at a job. He was, you know, put on administrative leave.
Yeah, they're a little bit too casual with it, for the Obamas. You know, I'm always saying that, and it really gives me the heebies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, I go back to the little hissy I had when they released what his Secret Service code name would be.
Yeah, no.
Renegade. And I went back to that, you know, being the old disc jockey that I am, I went back to the Styx song and just scanned the lyrics and went, oh, my God. Because then right after that, we had the story of the Secret Service guys on his detail who were passing around black jokes via email.
And then not to mention, you know how loosey-goosey they are getting hoes and whatnot, and was that in Colombia?
Yeah.
Right before he was supposed to show up. I mean, I just, you know, that makes me a bit nervous, you know, about...
Right, these are the guys who are supposed to keep him from getting killed.
Yeah, so, and that's for that police, that's just, I mean, that person should be, I don't know, interrogated, don't they, you know, something.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, don't we waterboard people for talking like that?
You know, that one, it's just sort of like, you know, what in the world? They need to really leave her alone. It just does my head in because she's just a man's wife, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No. See, she became part of the vast Islamo-fascist, communist, socialist conspiracy when she dug up that garden.
Oh, that's right. Well, listen, I'll let you go, but I must tell you this. Okay, you know what? It's just, it's so hideous, I can't take it. But Queen Latifah and some other black actresses are doing a remake of Steel Magnolias.
No.
I was like, no! And it's just doing my head in. I'm like, they need to leave that movie alone. Okay.
Jesus, God.
And it's just doing my head in because... Of course, people in my family, they want to see it and all this madness. And I'm just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, don't buy me the ticket.
Yeah, anyway, so, you know.
I'll have to go to IMDb and read up.
Yeah, you need to. And they have a trailer that's, you know, real cringy, and it's just kind of like, no, stop. Anyway, have a good evening.
All right, take care, Sandra.
Bye.
Bye now. Sandra calling from California. Onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
This is Alan, your old friend Alan.
Oh, my God, Alan, how are you?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm all right. Good to hear from you.
Hey, I'm up here in coal country.
Are you really?
I hate to say that. Because these mountains are so beautiful.
Yeah, what's left of them are. Whereabouts are you?
Right now I'm in Charleston, West Virginia.
Oh, my.
But I was in Sharpley. You ever heard of that?
Sharples?
Sharples.
Yeah.
So that's like that's right in the heart of it, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah, I delivered at a coal company there, and I started talking to this guy. And I didn't get in too much of a debate with him. I didn't want to because it's probably a dangerous thing to do.
You know, you're down in Logan County, and it can get pretty dodgy.
Yeah, so I mentioned mountaintop removal, and he said it's a great thing because they built a school on one of the mountaintops that they removed.
Oh, Jesus, yeah, that's, what is that, Mingo County Consolidated High School? Yeah, it's a mess.
So it's a mess, huh?
Sure, yeah, it's, you know, it's this vast, deserted area on top of the mountain. It gets soaringly hot up there because, you know, the trees are, of course, gone, and the thing won't settle right.
Oh, really, the foundation?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I probably figured that. Yeah. It's pretty hot, too.
Yeah.
Nothing grows on that mess. It looks like nothing will grow up there.
No, they'll never. No, no, nothing does grow up there. They spray on some hydro seed, and some non-native weeds grow up there for a while, and then they die out, and, nah, it's just nasty.
Well, nothing will grow now. It's so hot.
Right. But, you know, they'll never get a tree to grow. They'll nothing. Nothing.
Uh-huh. And he said on another mountaintop, wonderfully, they built a PGA golf course.
Oh, yeah, Twisted Gun. Who comes up with these names? Yeah, Crippled Fawn. Yeah, it's a crappy little golf course, and it's all BS. If you ever have that conversation again, you can say, "Did you know that less than 3% of all mountaintop removal sites have ever been reclaimed?" Because it's the truth.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I bet it's a mess. And also, I didn't ask them about the field where they push all that stuff over and mess up all the streams.
Bury the streams, right.
And I read about some town that was like flooded, had like a 1-in-a-century flood, about 5 of them in 1 month or something like that.
Yeah, it happened, like Mullins. Yeah, they have a lot of those.
Yeah, and I read about one guy who has some property up here in West Virginia, and they're always trying to get his property and won't sell it. So being that he won't sell it, they snuck on the property and shot 2 of his dogs and hung 1 of them. That really got to me because I have a dog.
Oh, I know.
You know about that situation?
These things happen. This is a pretty brutal place. Not pretty brutal. It is a brutal place. And the coal companies are the most brutal of them all.
Yeah. Also, I talked to a guy, or 2 people really in the coal business, and they're saying that coal is having a hard time because it's competing with natural gas. That's kind of ironic.
But it's also true. And
yeah.
Coal is losing that battle, and will continue to lose that battle.
Yeah. Ironically, it's like Republicans saying drill now and drill everywhere, and Obama's letting them do it, so they're doing that hydro fracking everywhere and messing up people's water, and then that's messing up the coal.
Yeah.
So that's a...
But one way or the other, you know, we get screwed out of drinkable water.
Uh-huh. So I guess they'll start doing that natural gas mining up here, too, like they're...
They're fracking here already for all they're worth.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Because there's almost no regulation whatsoever. I mean, this is Wild West Virginia, and there's, you know, God forbid government would get in the way of, you know, people getting their water poisoned out from under them. Yeah, it's in full swing here.
Yeah, the past vice president, I think he's the one that made the rules where they could put just about any chemical they want in for hydro fracking.
Yeah, it's just nasty. And of course there's no jobs coming out of it because they're all out of state crews from Texas and Oklahoma. It benefits next to nobody, no one whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
But the coal industry's having a hissy because like Appalachian Power, our power company, says that they're not going to build any more coal-fired power plants, and when they retrofit, they're going to go to natural gas. And so, that's another part of that Obama war on coal, even though it doesn't have anything to do with Barack Obama.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the coal industry is, in final analysis, comprised of liars, Alan. I mean, the truth isn't in them.
I imagine the same people in the coal business are also in the oil business, so they act like they're really getting screwed when they're probably making money on the other thing too.
Yeah, it's all incestuous. I mean, but the coal industry really is kind of separate from the natural gas industry, and the natural gas industry is putting the screws to coal for all it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
you wind up feeling kind of iffy about that because you know that the real answer is wind and solar, not more stuff that creates a carbon CO2 based nightmare.
Yeah, and we have 2 choices for president, and I think it's like, I don't feel like Obama's done much of anything to help in these issues.
No, precious little. He's scared to death of the hydrocarbon industry, and he's scared to death of the coal industry. But
maybe, likely if he gets reelected, and I hope he does, that he would fight harder.
You'd like to think so, but that doesn't very often turn out to be the case, Alan, in a lame duck presidency, because the second term is always lame duck. Let me ask you this: are you still painting?
No, I finally just faded out because I just don't. It's hard to do it when I'm driving around all the time.
Oh, that's true. So you've been on the road a whole bunch?
Yeah, I'm out here all the time, just about. Me and my dog. I still have my dog Tallulah with me.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
Poodle. We went to the dog track yesterday. You know, the dog track over here.
Oh, yeah.
And you could park and watch the dogs from where you park. Watch the dogs run around the track. Oh, man, she got so excited. Those dogs running.
Well, just tell her she sure doesn't want to be one of them. She's got a pretty happy gig where she is, I think. Okay. So are you driving big truck or sprinter van or what?
No, I'm still driving the sprinter van. It's so much easier and it's more fun, too.
Yeah.
I get to go around and see the site and go into smaller towns. Don't worry about going down the wrong road and all that stuff. Yeah.
Cool. Well, it's awful good to hear from you. I hope we'll hear from you again soon.
Okay.
You might not believe it, but I actually do. Agnes and I talk to each other. Hey, have you ever heard from, or, you know, when's the last time? And then I was thinking about you in the last week or so, and just because I, in fact, I saw a sprinter van somewhere, and that was what triggered the thought. I was like, hey, I wonder what Alan's up to.
Yeah, I would listen to you more, but that darn fascist company Verizon. I guess I could say that on your network.
Yes, you can.
Fascist company Verizon cut me back. When I got service with them, it was unlimited, and just like I could go down the interstate and listen to your internet station. Now, Austin, they just decide they want to cut me back. So it's like they reneged on their contract.
Well, you might want to look, when it comes renewal time, you might want to look at Sprint.
Sprint? They have a card or something that you...
Yeah, but the thing is, if you get one of their smartphones with the unlimited plan, their internet really is unlimited.
Okay. And there's also a company I might go with called O2 Communications. I think you could get an iPhone with them. I have my iPhone with them, and I might get an.
Well, and that's the thing. Sprint has the iPhone now too. So
that's good. Yeah.
And of course Credo. I would be remiss if I didn't mention Credo because they're probably the most decent of the companies that are out there.
Oh yeah, I get the emails from them.
And they'll buy out your contract too. So I'd probably look at them first. Alan, good to hear from you. And
yeah, okay.
My best to Tallulah there, and travel safely. And do you stay in West Virginia for a while, or are you headed back home?
Oh, I'm just waiting for a load, just to make some money and get out of here.
Well, good luck, and enjoy the state, and just stay off the mountaintop removal sites.
Hey, if you get a chance, go to Legal Schnauzer. You've heard of that website, Legal Schnauzer?
Yeah.
And read about the Don Siegelman and also how that, like, supposed to connect with this guy who has a golden flake potato chips who wound up dead in a lake. And it's a weird story.
Oh, wow. I will go have a look. I grew up eating golden flakes.
Yeah. Pretty good chips.
Yeah, they are. I like them better than any other. Alan, you take care, and we'll talk soon, I hope.
Okay.
All right. Enjoy West Virginia.
Okay.
Bye now. My goodness gracious, that's good to hear from Alan. It's been a very, very long time. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brother Bob. Good afternoon.
Brother Albert, what's happening, man?
Hey, it's more than Monday, man. Celebrate. Look at John Kyle. Look at that guy. Did you hear what he said?
No.
That the outsourcing is because of Obamacare. And the regulations and all that stuff.
What? Huh?
Yeah, Obamacare. That's what made start all the outsourcing. Not Mitt Romney. No, it's that. So he said it. He said it. Even Gregory was all like, blah, 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 blah. It was ridiculous. And then the other one, my other moran for the day was the Huffington Post commenter who said that America was never more prosperous than it was before the income tax. Which is what? Pre-1913, which kind of echoes what you were talking about with Sandra. That's where they want to go back to. They want to go back to the Robin Baron, you know, cannibal orgy, you know.
80-hour work weeks.
Yeah, triangle fire, all that stuff.
Because America was never more... Oh, Jesus.
He said it. He said it. You know, of course, you have to smack them down, and most certainly I do whenever I see them. I like killing flies. But, you know, that was a nickel. That guy got a nickel for that.
He got his nickel right.
Yeah, maybe 50 cents, you know. They're getting desperate. And it's just, you know.
And you know what? If you can post a right-wing comment per minute, you can make $3 an hour, Albert. I did the math. And you know what? Those are some real live, honest to God Republican. That's the GOP wage scale, man. $3 an hour.
Do you think that's what they're doing in India? You think they've outsourced that as well?
Probably.
You know, I mean, that's how they get their Twitter likes and Facebook friends and all the other nonsense.
Well, you know, babes for Limbaugh. You know, they're all from Mumbai and Bangalore.
Yeah, they're all cam girls too. You know.
Charming, ain't it?
Hey, well, that's how they roll, you know. They want to go back to, you know, they think they want to go back. That's how twisted it is. That's how much they don't know their history. You know, you would think, you know, I mean, they want to go back in time. Jeez, you go back in time, you know. Let's go forward in time. Let's try that. Why do we want to go back in time? You know, the only people who want to go back in time are people who don't know history. Yeah, I mean, this, what? You know, that's the whole Ron Paul nonsense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, you know.
We were driving down one of the little back roads here the other day, and Agnes looked out the window, and there was a Ron Paul sign in a yard, and she just looked at me. Ron Paul? Really? Really? Ron Paul?
Well, you know, I mean, and I understand where that comes from. You know,
ignorance.
Yeah, I know. Ignorance, certainly. Yeah, well, you know, you read an Ayn Rand book, and you're too young, and whoop. Oh, it really is all about me? Me. Yeah, it's just, you know, they want to go Galt all the time, these guys. And, you know, they're the first ones on the teat when they get a little flood or a fire or anything else like that. Or, you know, keep the government hands off my Obamacare. You know, that sign's coming one day.
Yep.
You know it. I mean, you know, it just, and I mean... Mittens, come on. Look at this guy. Look at him. Obama, when he was singing, he was pretty smooth. He was good, you know. He had some baritone in there, and, you know, you know, he sounded good. Mitt Romney's trying to sing. What was he singing? Oh, great, whatever. His own merit, Star Spangled Banner, whatever. He's singing like a nightmare. That was a nightmare on itself, wasn't it? I mean, that was the most fitting commercial I've ever seen in terms of, you know, just summon him up in a little box, putting a little bow on it. There you go.
Here's Willard.
Here he is, singing in there. Well, listen to that guy. Oh, he believes in America, doesn't he? Oh, why even bother? If you can't sing, don't do it. You know? I mean, you know, you try...
When you're in a hole, when you're in a hole, quit digging.
Hey, he's trying to be the next Adam Sandler, you know?
No, he's not opera man.
He's trying. He's trying. Man, he'll try. Going to the Wawa's and 7-Eleven cookies and, oh, he's getting down. He's getting his, oh, he's getting in the middle of it. Next thing you know, he'll be eating Slurpees and Slim Jims. You know, oh, I love the little spoons at the end of the straw. That's a great invention. I'll have to take these on the spaceship.
Oh, let me call the boys at Bain and let's buy that company and outsource it.
Yep, I need 1 billion of them on the fleet. It's a long trip to Kolob. Oh, man.
Ugh. Spaceship money.
It is space. It's fleet, yeah. It's
yeah, I told Agnes that. And she didn't stop laughing for about 15 minutes. Just walk through the house, and I'd just hear her lovely voice, spaceship money. Ah!
It is. Kolob, yeah. It's like what you guys are talking about. He gave McCain 23 years?
Yeah.
Oh, that's dirty. He's greasy. He's so greasy. Come on, people. That guy is greasy.
But you know, but what I think is the bigger and more important observation is, is what Sandra said. And afterward, the McCain campaign ran away so fast they landed on Mussolini.
That guy, he's greasy. He's greasy. Oh man. It just comes out of his hands and he rubs it through his hair. Then on his face.
You know, I just wonder. I wonder which year it is that really ruins everything. Because you know, you release 23 years and you get a Willard. In 1994. Can we talk about 1994? Oh, did we give you that one? And I love his latest argument. Well, Teresa Hines Carey didn't release her tax returns.
Yeah, what is that? What? Who? Teresa what? What?
Yeah.
What? Who cares? I want to see yours. You know, I mean, what? You want to see Michelle's birth certificate next? I mean, come on.
Probably.
Come on.
Probably.
Of course. Well, you never know.
Careful what you whisper into the ear of the universe. You know, right-wingers listen to this program. They just know they're not allowed on the phone.
Good idea. Go do that. Yes, go do that. Ask for Michelle's birth certificate. Another embarrassment. You could just continue to pile the embarrassment on you. You can hide behind a mountain,
And don't forget. And don't forget to FOIA the White House logs to find all of those communist organic growers who told her how not to use Monsanto industrial pesticides and seeds.
The horror.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, the other thing is, I read that was a pretty interesting article I read. I think it was on AltNet regarding capitalism. And, it strikes me as a system that is holding us back as a species. And, I mean, due to how bastardized it is, you know, there's not a lot of people that have read Wealth of Nations, you know what I mean? And that's why, please, all liberals, go read it. Just go read it. And then you listen to the right-wingers, and you say, I agree with Adam Smith when it comes to taxation. You know, it says rich people should pay their fair share and then some. Not 13.5% on...
Right, and that's why, you know, I've made that argument in the past, Albert, and I will continue to make it, because, after all, I have read The Wealth of Nations.
Mm-hmm.
And some other stuff, too. That was, you know, that was his... Oh, I don't know. That was one of his lesser releases. You know, that's not on the greatest hits album at the time for Adam Smith. He was writing a bunch of other stuff too, and that was considered just, I don't know. That was like the Garth Brooks album where he was a rock star with facial hair, for Adam Smith. That is. What you find out is that the capitalism that these right wing weirdos worship has nothing to do with Adam Smith.
Mm-hmm.
It is capitalism that they call such because they can't quite bring themselves to just say, listen, we want to dig up Ayn Rand and have sex with her.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. It's a sort of necrophilic fascination with that hateful old woman. And her policies of let's all be Somalia and Haiti.
Unless it's for her, because, you know, pigs can sleep in beds if there's, you know, as long as there's no sheets.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. Because, you know, she ran right down and signed up for some of that moochers, right? Yeah. She signed up to be a moocher because she wanted that government health care.
Food stamps.
And Social Security.
And Social Security, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's what is it, great sauce for the goose?
Yeah.
Because we have sauce now, you know. It's
right.
The sauce for the goose.
Yeah, I thought you'd get a kick out of this, talking about the paranoia of the right and everything. I get these right-wing pitches all day long. Obama's shocking plans for the next 4 years revealed in new book. Conducting interviews on this topic is the New York Times best-selling author, journalist, and radio host Aaron Klein, and award-winning historian, researcher, and New York Times best-selling author Brenda J. Elliott. Fool me twice, Obama's shocking plans for the next 4 years exposed, is the game-changing, news-making election book that exclusively reveals the specific blueprint for the second presidential term of Barack Obama, something the president and his progressive backers do not want disclosed to the American public. Yeah, it comes from Wingnut Daily Books. Just as unfit for command provided the margin of defeat for John Kerry in 2004, fool me twice will ensure Obama serves only one term, said Wingnut Daily CEO and editor Joseph Farah.
Yeah, okay. See, this is the thing. That's a Pavlovian book. That's what that is. That's a Pavlovian. You know, oh, someone wrote a book about it. Oh, look, they say such great things about it. Oh, it must be true. And it's not that they read the book, you know, it's like the same thing, you know, the media, the, you know, all of it, it does the same thing when it comes to, you know, all right, you know, he created, whatever, 129,000 jobs or 69,000 jobs, which is still 69,000 more jobs than Bush created, and it's, oh, Armageddon, oh,
re-education camps.
Oh, man, you know, and next thing you know, it's the chocolate rations, you know, they went up. They went down 12% yesterday, and they went up 10% today. Oh, yay, we got 10%. I mean, you know, no, you're down 2. But, oh, it's just, that's what it is. It's, nobody's going to read that book. Get out of here. They you know how they, Sean Hannity writes books, nobody reads them. You know, unless they give them, get them for donating $5 to the Republican National Committee.
Or they pick it up for a dollar at Dollar Tree after it's been remaindered.
Yeah, in the three cent bin. Come home with a, we got legs for the table. Unbelievable.
We can even up the fridge now. Level it up.
It's good for that. It has its uses. I mean, I'll tell you what. One day I'm going to build an Earth ship, and you know I could probably find uses for that.
Yeah, most likely. I mean, that wallboard.
Yeah. Paper mache, you know. There's probably all kinds of uses. Compost, I mean. You know, you got to be on the Michelle Obama, you know, communist organic gardening email list to find out how, but, you know.
Right.
One day, comrade, one day we'll teach you the evils of compost.
Oh, get this. Ron and Raleigh just shared this along. You'll get a kick out of this. Regarding Willard's tax returns, his tax return that he submitted for review was 200-plus pages. He released 23 years' worth of returns to the McCain campaign. Man, that had to look like a full set of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Imagine working your way through that. It had to be a forensic accountant's nightmare.
That's a train car.
I wonder if they showed it to Antonin Scalia, would he say, you expect us to read all this?
And of course,
that's 3,000 double-spaced pages.
Oh, man. You know, I think I only have one or two. I think, probably, yeah. We're in that normal range. He can never, 200 pages for what year? What, 200 pages? Man, must be rough. You know he doesn't even do it himself. What does this guy do? What does he do? What does this guy do?
Nobody's ever been able to figure it out.
He's just like, I mean, he's just like a master lord or something. You know what I mean? He's just, he probably just sits there.
Just sits around and absorbs money.
Yeah.
I mean, if there was any fun to him, he'd remind me of the Mel Brooks character in Blazing Saddles. You know, work, 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 work. Hello, boys. Do you miss me? Work, work, work. I didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
He's like Dr. Evil's, what's his name? The henchman with the patch on his eye.
Oh, number two.
Yeah, he's number two. That's who you're talking
about. In so many ways.
Yeah, exactly. He's got the hairdo. He's got the, you know, he just has to wear that plastic face of the Romney with the white teeth and, yeah, that's what the hair's so greasy. Yeah, that makes sense. Number two. That's who he is. Number two.
Makes you wonder who Dr. Evil is. But then again, when you see pictures of him, it's not hard to figure out because,
yeah.
Have you seen pictures of Sheldon Adelson?
Oh, he's one of them too, yeah. There's a few of them, I think.
Well, it turns out he's in bed with the Chinese mob.
No. Come on, Bob.
Among the junket companies under scrutiny is a concern that records show was financed by Chung Chi Tai, a Hong Kong businessman. Chung was named in a 1992 U.S. Senate report as a leader of a Chinese organized crime gang, or triad, a casino in Macau owned by Las Vegas Sands granted tens of millions of dollars in credit to a junket backed by Chung, documents show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's the mob.
All criminals, you don't have that kind of money without being a criminal. You just don't.
Right.
There's no way. There's no way you don't break someone over the barrel to get your $1 billion. And, you know, they're all criminals. There was a documentary regarding the Russian mafia. And it was actually really, you know, like he's getting all these interviews. But these guys, of course they give interviews because they're not really out there killing people and hustling, you know, store owners anymore. They've already, you know, extorted all their money from...
No, they're in the oil and gas business now.
Yeah. These guys are billionaires. These guys are all billionaires. It's just like, you know, yeah, welcome to the club, boys. This is how we work. It's just, you know, there's not much difference, is there? I didn't see much, you know. They were soulless, sociopathic, you know. Give me whatever I want, no matter what. And, you know, that looks like the same breed to me. I don't know, you know. I mean, what, are you trying to tell me J.P. Morgan never had anyone put in a barrel and sent off to Hudson? Come on. Come on. I mean, come on.
You know, there's a brilliant comment in one of... Oh, who wrote the Sam Spade? Not Sam Spade. Dadgummit! One of the great the father, not Dashiell Hammett, but the next guy. There's this discussion of the fact that you cannot have that kind of money without sooner or later having done something really filthy because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta get the Kindle in here and dig that up. I gotta share something else out with you too, though. I just got an email, and granted, there's a photograph involved, so yeah, we realize the limitations of the medium here. But I just got an email from David in South Carolina. It is a photograph of a young Mitt Romney on a bicycle with suit and tie, and the caption says, "Willard Romney sees fierce action during the Vietnam War." Apparently, in 1968, the Mekong Delta extended all the way to France. Willard was part of the highly decorated Bicycle Brigade. Bicycle Brigade was a component of the cavalry, which Willard liked because its patch had a horse head on it. Willard survived hours of truffle reconnaissance in dangerous conditions behind enemy lines. He commanded a truffle sniffer unit and was able to downsize the unit from approximately 66 pigs down to 33 small dogs. He fired the French pigs and brought in some Italian truffle sniffing dogs. He was detained several times and interrogated by authorities and never told the same story twice.
Excellent. That's excellent. Give that man a toast there, Brother Bob.
Absolutely. It's on the way, David.
Oh, man. Yeah, those dogs are good because the pigs eat them. So, yeah, you need the dogs.
You gotta have them.
Mittens. Oh, goodness. Well, it keeps going on and on and on. What are you going to do, right, Brother Bob?
Yeah, you just get up and face the next day.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's good news, though. You know, solar panels keep dropping in price. You know, that's still occurring. You know, that revolution's still happening. You know, there are cogs that are turning and cams that are moving. And, you know, we're sputtering. But, you know, the economy, it's Well, why? You know why. Well, we need solar panels on every roof. And we need people up there doing them. You know what I mean?
A little distributed grid action. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's how it has to be, you know? And, you know, I mean, they have no problem selling generators for $3,100, $6,000, whatever, $8,000, you know? Why not just have the sun that's just right now currently destroying those asphalt shingles on your roof, because that's what happens, you know. I mean, it just takes a long time, you know, but you leave them shingles out there 20 years and you start to notice, and it happens real quick. Once it starts breaking, it's just a cascade, you know. So, you know, come on, people. You know, it's smarter to do, what you're paying right now, right, for your electric, is what you would be paying for those panels, but you'd only be paying for them for 4 or 5 years. And then once you're done, you're done. Then, you know, yeah, right, you might have a $6 bill here, but then, you know, you'll get a $60 credit the next, you know, once the spring and summer comes. You know, get up there, angle them out, you know, for the winter time, you know, get all that stuff measured correctly. I mean, I see that as a great job opportunity for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who wants to keep paying power bills, you know, that accelerate and just continue to, you know, get more and more and more every year? You know, I mean, goodness, I mean, I asked my mom what they were paying, you know, and if you try to adjust it for inflation, it's still less than what we're paying today. I mean, it's just, it's crazy, you know, now we got heat, you know, heat crazy. It was 104, 106. I mean, come on, you know, all the land that's down here by me, you know, I live in a nice little driftless region that's, you know, has topsoil, but the rest of it is all glacier scraped and sand and everything.
Sand, yeah, literally sandpapered.
Yeah, and it is. There was just a report on it today. I just heard they're talking about Iowa sitting there and they're downgraded from, you know, what was it, medium to low. You know, it's just in terms of what they're going to get out of it, you know, so,
yeah.
You know, if you want to, you know, and of course, here we go. Who benefits from that kind of knowledge, right? People that trade in corn, you know, and you,
oh, you mean the speculators?
Yeah, those guys, you know, and they do their little, what is it, Trading Places with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd, you know, they do their little, commodities exchange nonsense. You know, you and I don't have the money to, you know, you and I, when we buy corn, it's a bag of chips. You know, or it's some whatever, you know, that's what, or whatever.
I've heard, you know, maybe it's corn.
Yeah, or maybe it's corn. Maybe it's sweet corn on the cob. It is in season if you can get it. It's not a lot like it was last year. That's due to the heat. But anyway, you know,
You mentioned corn. I just have to tell you this little story. While we were gone, bought some sweet corn down in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And Agnes had never done it. So when I shucked it, I said, seriously, this stuff's like candy, raw. I said, just take a bite.
Mm-hmm.
And she did. And she said, my God, this is so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And sat there and ate the whole damn cob, raw.
Yep. You know, and, you know, some of that is creepy science, and some of that is just, you know, smart farming.
Yeah.
You know, by breeding this breed with that breed and this breed with that breed over the years, you know, and, you know, just because it's, you know, grown, you know, I'm not a big fan of, you know, the genetics revolving, you know, around in.
No, and I don't want an apple that won't turn brown in the air.
No, I don't want, don't do nothing creepy like melding fish and fruit. Get out of here with that, you know, like.
I don't want any Island of Dr. Moreau food.
Exactly. I mean, you know, there's ways to make an apple have maybe a little more vitamin C, you know, and that vitamin C would be maybe the antioxidant that would stop it from getting brown. And if that's how you're doing it by, you know, it's like those Rainier cherries, right? You know, have you had those things yet?
No.
Man, oh my God, you gotta have Rainier cherries. They're almost like, they're just huge, big, fruity, juicy cherries. They're sweet and tart at the same time. I mean, they're just delicious. They're amazing. They're, you know, their Brix value, I think, is like a 23 or something like that. You know, they're very good for you. And they got them by combining, you know, a Bing cherry and a something other cherry, you know, and a whiter cherry. And now this is like this creamy cherry that, they only grow it. They can't grow their own root structure. I mean, this is fruit now, you know, so they got grafting involved. And that's when you get, you know, that's good horticulture, you know, like that kind of stuff. You know, it's not frankenfood. I can't deal with the frankenfood. I won't tolerate that. But, you know, I mean, trust me, there's a difference between grass-fed beef and corn-fed beef. You know, there's a big difference, you know.
Yes, there is.
Flavor and taste. Same thing with, you know, hunters out there. You know, don't hunt deer in the pine scrub. Blah. Blah.
No.
You got to get them to eat the good stuff, you know? Cause they are,
yeah, my brother-in-law has told me the story of, you know, just try it. You know, he's a hunter. And told me the story of trying to eat, like, pronghorn. Because all they eat is sage grass.
Yikes.
And he said, no. And he said, there is nothing you can do that will make that tasty. Starving will not make that tasty.
Yeah. And, you know, that's kind of good in a way, you know, because that's why ladybugs taste bad, you know, so the birds don't just gorge on them, and they could do their job and control the aphids, you know, and, you know, we need animals out there, ungulates and, you know, feeding the soil. I mean, that's really what, you know, that's kind of this natural system. I don't know if you read that article regarding the surfer that got bit in half by a great white shark, right?
Yeah.
Out in Australia. And then, of course, you know, within that article, they're talking about how they've baited hooks and da-da-da-da-da to catch the shark. Why? For what? Why? Why would you want to catch and kill this shark? For what?
For being a shark?
Somebody? For being a shark? I mean, that's basically what? Leave it alone. Maybe put a warning out.
Sharks.
Hey, surfers. Yeah, sharks that can bite a surfer in half. No, it's true. For real. just warning you.
Yeah, but you see, know, Albert, once they've had that taste of human blood.
Yeah, I wonder how those Republicans know that. Because that's, you know, that's the kind of mentality that would go out and watch Jaws and then, you know, let's go kill us some sharks.
That must mean that we're awfully tasty.
Actually, I mean, I don't think we are. I mean, I just think this shark was big. You know, and you get 16-foot gray white.
Yeah, no, it's a shark doing shark things.
Yeah, and you're in its place. I mean, especially if you're surfing, usually, you know.
Yeah, and you know how the mindset works in the chat room. There's Greg, zombie sharks.
I was just hoping that we could lure the zombies into the ocean and the sharks could clean up. It'd be like a win-win for us.
Hey, can we throw a beat? I got it. There it is. That little moment. You know, the Republican National Convention is going to be in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Think we could get a beach party for them? No, come on in. Swim. No sharks in the Gulf of Mexico. None. Come on.
You know, well, heck, Palin, Bachman, you know, and if I even bring out, what's her name from Ohio? That was all, remember her, what's her name?
Oh, Mean Gene Schmidt.
Mean Gene Schmidt, yep. Get them going, get them in their little bees, beehive haircuts, and their little, yeah, let's go! Sorry.
Yeah.
You took me there, too.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you know, just get
the beach party blowout!
Yeah, Gidget does trickle down.
Yeah, exactly. Newton, right?
Yeah.
The white thing on his nose. Oh, man, with the hat and the glasses because he burns.
Right.
Callista.
Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, goes to the beach.
With an oil can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on out, Newt. You'll float.
Oh, man.
No sharks.
And yeah, Tampa just doesn't have that magic anyway.
Now, don't get me the hate mail about not loving Tampa.
I was born in Tampa, folks.
Okay. All right.
Took it all with me.
That's true.
But, you know, come on. And we all know Florida. What a mess. I mean, how symbolic. Yeah, go to Florida. Yeah, because you guys you're just racking them in Florida. I don't know if you've seen the other Moran that was out there. There was a comment regarding, of course, the attack on that, you know, the faceless guy, the guy who ate the guy's face, speaking of zombies, is what brought me there.
Yeah.
Is that race related? Is it race related that he bit his face? He's a white guy? That's how paranoid. That's pretty freaking paranoid. Nah, man, because you see, it's like you gotta explain to these people, no. I don't think it has much to do with race unless white people are delicious. But it could just be that he was crazy and he ate someone's face. I mean, I'm happy with that explanation. I don't think we have to go any deeper than you eat someone's face when you're naked in public next to a highway, you're lost, you're gone.
Yeah, and don't forget the part where he was really deeply into his religion.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that too. Come on, the guy's crazy. That's a crazy person, you know. And I don't know, maybe they relate to the crazy people though a lot, you know. I mean, they it's obvious, but at the same time, you know, they kind of relate to them.
Yeah,
they do those things that they want to do.
Maybe that's the Christian thing that Pat Robertson was talking about.
Yeah, I mean, he's what a broken clock that guy is. Unbelievable. I mean, well, every now and then, it's like, it's kind of broken clock that only runs once in a while. You know what I mean? So, like, forever it'll be at 4:10, and then...
And then the minute 4:10 comes along, it click, 4:11, always wrong.
Yeah, exactly. It'll turn on and go backwards. And it's just, you know, it's a crazy clock, and that's him. And, Right, what is he talking about? You know, it's like, what is that guy doing writing him a letter anyway? You know, but I thought it was brilliant because I didn't believe that.
See,
you know,
no, I didn't either. I think there's a lot of people out there that have caught on, and I don't know, maybe it's kind of like The Office, you know, where it's this deadpan shtick where everybody's in on the joke but Pat.
Yeah.
And so you send. Dear Pat, I am in love with a sheep, you know.
She is a Christian.
She's a Christian sheep, Pat. Right. And you drop the nickel in Pat and go away and just, you know, well, welcome to the Hall of Presidents, you know.
Oh, man. That Jesus don't mess around. He came with a sword. Didn't take him long to get drooling into that.
No, that's what blew me away is, you know, he giggles when he starts talking about the sword because he's waiting for the rapture when he gets to kill some Jews.
Yeah, it's like you won the Powerball. You're like, holy cow, I just won the Powerball. All my bills are paid. You get excited. That's how excited he got.
Yeah.
That's how excited. He's a sick puppy, that guy. That guy's a sick puppy. What a freak. But yeah, it has to be a troll, and it's a good troll. That's an excellent troll. I think that's how trolling should be used. It should be an art form. It shouldn't just be like, you know, 14-year-olds get a hold of things usually, you know, sometimes they wreck them. But sometimes they're smart, you know, as we all know too. But you know, the good ones, the ones that you can go, kid, you're smart. I like that. I like when I see that kind of stuff. The smart kind of trolling. Not the, just the lowest common denominator stuff, which is Pat Robertson, you know? And troll on the, when you troll on those guys, it's brilliant. It's just perfect. They just, oh man, they just go. They just go.
Dear Pat, would Jesus approve of me having a nuclear device? Yeah. Only if you're American. Hey, Jesus. Yeah. But then again, remember, he does want to legalize weed, so.
Broken clock. Once in a while.
Well, no, I just think he's probably got a good source, and you know, it's a big giggle all the way around. People are trolling Pat, and Pat's just sitting there, you know, that glazed look on his face, and what's the craziest thing that'll come into my? She's doing her Muslim thing.
That's genius. He's genius then, and I'm a big fan.
Oh, my God. Brother Albert, have yourself a wonderful evening.
You too, Brother Bob.
Right.
Be good.
Take care. Bye now.
Muslim thing.
Onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Hey, Jim, what's happening?
You.
Nice work on the Moran today.
Well, they began quite strangely because when I awoke, I spelled something rather acrid. And my advice to anybody is if you have a power strip, please close the window when it rains.
Oh, no. It rained in your surge protector?
Well, it was like cooking like crazy, but I caught it in time.
And that's an unforgettable aroma.
Oh boy, acrid is not even the word to describe it. I thought to myself, never mind, I'm not going to say that. Well, we'll just move on. well, I was going to say, I thought somebody had pissed in the window. I said, my God, what in the world is that? But nonetheless, you know, as far as this business and I don't know where to start after all the conversation I've heard tonight, but I mean, good Lord in heaven, eating people's faces.
Oh yeah.
God, in my day, Bob, my pickup line used to be, my face leaves in 5 minutes, be on it.
Yeah, and see, that's the way the world's changed. I mean, it's, and it happened in Florida, of course, and Florida is, well, Onward to Dystopia messaged me a few minutes ago and said, Florida, My state didn't win the title of being the deadbeat's paradise for nothing.
Now you got it, that's for sure. And that business about the lieutenant governor of Florida, what in the world was that about? She was supposed to be a lesbian or something like
well,
that?
Well, she has been accused of, and she's a right-wing woman of color, and she's lieutenant governor of Florida, and she's a surrogate for Willard Romney.
Oh, yeah.
And she's been accused of having a relationship outside of her marriage with one of her female aides. Now, unless proven, that stuff is tawdry. But the thing is, it's tawdry if it's not true. If it is true, then she is a hypocrite. And this is not about the sexuality, of course, Jim. You know that. It's about the hypocrisy. But the thing is, the damnedest thing is her explanation of why it's not true.
I heard that.
And I don't know if anybody else has or not, but this is just loopy. The problem is, and her name, by the way, is Jennifer Carroll. She said, the problem is that when you have these accusations that come out, it's not just one person you're attacking. It's an entire family. My husband doesn't want to hear that. He knows the type of woman I am. I mean, my kids know the type of woman I am. For 29 years, I'm the one that's married for 29 years. The accuser is the one that's been single for a long time. So you, and here's the walk away. So usually black women that look like me don't engage in relationships like that.
That's...
What the...
I know. Look, let's go back about 30 years. Now, do you remember Pam Parsons in Columbia, South Carolina?
Yes.
Do you remember the whole story about Pam Parsons and her basketball team? And this is, I'm building on the Sandusky thing and all the scandals that can relate to different college teams and stuff like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had gone into court, and it was in the same federal building where I used to frequent quite often. And, you know, it was a very nice federal building, a beautiful sculpture, right turn on white. It was right outside that federal courthouse. But nonetheless, you know, they'd gone in there, and the judge had realized that someone had committed perjury.
Right.
Pam Parsons and Tina Buck and all that crowd, and they'd got this woman from those bar in wherever it was, Utah, or I don't know where it was. And when I saw her face, I said, oh, my Lord, it scared me to death. But nonetheless, the judge just confronted Pam Parsons' lawyer and said, you know, this case is going on to perjury on all fronts. And I will never forget what that poor man said. And, of course, Pam Parsons and her friend and maybe others had gone to a place called Puss in the Boots, which was an active gay bar for women.
Right.
And I'm not trying to make any spare about lesbians or whatever.
No. That, again, it's about the hypocrisy.
Exactly. And the lawyer just said, Your Honor, for the Lord's sake, please, before this trial, the only thing I ever heard about Puss in the Boots was it was a cat food.
Because the subornation of perjury it's party over for any lawyer who does so.
Yeah, and you know, the lawyer was himself on trial for that, and you know, it's just amazing. But I'll say, and I mentioned that only in reason for the fact that this thing with Sandusky and the other guy and all the other people up chain of command in that school who basically condoned it.
Right.
You know, it isn't new. And there are all kinds of things going on like that, and that people try to cover them up. And what
well, look at, and I know sports are not necessarily your métier, but... consider what happened at the University of Arkansas. Their head coach got himself in a motorcycle wreck with a sweet young thing on the back and tried to lie his way out of it when it turned out that they'd been, you know, a romping.
Oh, dear.
You know, you're right. But the thing is, I don't think it's ever risen to the level of horror that it rose to at Penn State. And what makes it more horrifying is the fact that the whole time Penn State was out there burnishing its image. I mean, really, after Joe Paterno died, the guy put a halo on his statue. The artist put a halo over Joe Paterno. It has since been taken down.
Bob, why would anybody put a halo over a statue of anybody like that?
You'd I guess if you, and I'm not being rude, if you ask the question, Jim, then, you know, the only thing I can say is you don't know that culture. I mean, it is, look, I read a comment from a University of Alabama fan the other day who said, you know, we Bama fans have been accused of being pretty obnoxious, and we can be. But he said, I hadn't seen anything until we went to Penn State to play football last year. And he said, you want to talk about over the top.
You mean cult of personality?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Joe Paterno was this man of impeccable integrity. You know, it was like a war to get him to put a Nike swoosh on the plain, dull, boring white uniforms of Penn State University. Yeah, you know, because he didn't want to be accused of having sold out the program.
Talk about straining a gnat and swallowing a camel.
Yeah. I mean, so it's understandable that people are out there saying, hey, just shut the damn program down for a while. You know, back up, recalculate, reconsider, and get your priorities in order. But what Sandra says is very much true. The only industry in Happy Valley, the only industry in State College, Pennsylvania, is Penn State.
And money talks.
And money talks, and while it would be more than fitting, that kind of punishment would be more than fitting, it does, as Dave Zirin noted, amount to collective punishment of people who had nothing to do with anything that went wrong.
Well, that's true. I mean, yeah, you know, what you said is very true. I mean, I'm no great devotee of any of those activities, as we've discussed many times before. But, you know, I can't see collective punishment because you've got, what, four or five critters in the chain of command who actually, I can't believe it. I mean, these guys were sending emails to each other.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
I mean, why were they doing what John Gotti should have done and had around the campus walkabout?
Yeah, because you know, this is one of those... You know, Jim, I'm very hesitant to ever use the word tragedy because you and I both know what it means. It implies that the person the tragedy befalls has it coming to a degree or another. But in this case, it is a tragedy because there were tragic flaws. There's a tremendous tragic flaw within Joe Paterno, because he had Jerry Sandusky was arguably a brilliant defensive coordinator. So, you know, we'll just blink at some of his excesses and not let little boys come into the showers to get raped, and you know, maybe next year we'll get the national championship.
Well, they were just basically, shall we say, eccentricities and tricks of character. So we'll have to excuse that.
Right. Yeah.
I can just imagine the excuses that they rationalized. But the big excuse was, how's this going to impact on the program and the income it's bringing in and money, 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 money. That's basically what I consider to be the root of all this evil.
Yeah. It certainly drove the vast majority of the decisions that were made.
Bob, it's driving all the decisions, everything is made, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. I mean, I have never seen, you know, I was just watching this story about Doris Duke and all the stuff that occurred after her will and that butler she had, Lafferty. And, you know, when Doris Duke was a little girl, her father, Buchanan Duke, told her one thing, and she should have adhered to it. Never trust anybody. particularly when it comes to money. You really can't.
No.
And I've got to the point where, you know, I don't trust anybody about any damn thing, to tell you the truth. I mean, it's got to the point where people are filled with such avarice and greed and hooray for me, to hell with you. But they'll do anything. There's no code of honor. There's no code of responsibility or culpability about the negative.
Or accountability.
Accountability and all those other words that basically make a person responsible for what their actions or how their actions impact upon another human being.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, and all this is basically money is a force multiplier. It just drives any type of dignity or honor or responsibility or just, as you say, culpability or basic human decency out of the human psyche. And everybody is, you know, greed is good, to quote Gordon Gekko in that movie. You know?
Yeah, and they still live by it.
Yeah, they do. And as far as the Republican Party is concerned, I think they should change their mascot or whatever they use, the alpha, from an alpha to a shark, a big old shark with great big teeth, like jaws, because that's what they are. Predatory.
Merciless.
They have to keep moving through their filth, like a shark does, in order to breathe. That's what keeps them alive. Their predatory spirit and their lack of any compassion or compunction about anything they do, just as long as they can continue to move through their filth, and as they move through their filth, or not the filth, but the, you know, through humanity, is the fact that they're going to, that's what keeps them going.
Yeah.
Because if they stop, like a shark, they don't breathe, they die. And basically, I think they are very shark-like in their intentions and their movements and their motivation. And, you know, it's necessary for them to survive. You know, just like a vampire. Or be it a physical vampire or a social vampire or a psyche vampire.
Right. And, you know, that was one of the reasons that there was a certain amount of grim humor in the fact that no one was allowed to take Willard Romney's photograph in the company of Richard B. Dick Cheney last week.
Who, Count Dracula?
Yeah.
Oh, why not?
Well, he doesn't show up in photos.
Doesn't. Well, maybe those little bite marks on Romney's neck may have shown up that he'd been bitten by Count Dracula.
I imagine he brought a spare pint with him.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, Cheney likes AB negative when he can get it. It's like a rare wine to him, but he'll settle for over the counter O if he has to.
Shit, Bob! You know that son of a bitch would probably, he'd be biting rats and any other thing he could get. As far as I'm concerned, or most of them will. As far as I, you know. If they can't get human blood, they'll get any other blood from anything or any other organization or any type of organization that's designed to help people or provide food or provide comfort or provide.
Right. It goes back care. To it goes back to that that Latin phrase that Blue Zoom gave me last week on the tweets. Qui multum habet plus cupit. He who has much wants more.
Of course. And the thing about it is, these people are psychic vampires, and we're moving on to another plane here, but as far as I'm concerned, what the object of their intentions or any program that will help the poor or whatever, and they wish for these programs to die of one thing, exsanguination.
Right, as long as they get the sanguine.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's exactly what they are. They are political, financial, social.
Right. I mean, it's like what we were talking about with Sandra with, you know, the Social Security cap. The reason they, you know, the reason no right-winger ever wants that to happen is because they don't want more money going into Social Security. That would make it harder for them to get it.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, as I've said before on this program so many times, I mean, they wish to violate every and destroy every social program, the social contract that was established back during the New Deal, and they are atavistic. And that's the key word. They should have atavism on their banner. They want to go back to some other combination of feudalism and, what's the other word you can use besides feudalism?
Serfdom?
Well, in addition to serfdom, I mean, they just want to go back to, as Albert said, pre-1913, before there was any graduated income tax.
Yeah.
And, of course, the purpose of the graduated income tax was to help spread some of the wealth and to make things a little more equitable for people who didn't have so much. I mean, it would seem as though if they were true Christians, they would say, from those people who are given much, much is required. Well, their axiom is, the more I've been given, the less I want to give. And it goes back to they're trying to resurrect Laffer's trickle-down economics and hide behind that. And you know exactly how defunct that particular economic theory is. It doesn't trickle down.
No, look, you know, George Bush is the one who caught, George H.W. Bush, is the one who called it, you know, way back in, what, 1980?
Voodoo economics.
Voodoo economics. And it's the one thing in his life that, well, maybe two things he was right about. He was also right about not marching to Baghdad.
No, absolutely. 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 And, you know, you were talking the other night and we're just jumping around here, and I hope you don't mind.
Oh, that's fine.
About Condi Rice being vetted for vice president position. Well, listen, after her run-up to 9/11 and her run-up to the Iraqi war and her being pro-choice, I think we can forget about Condoleezza Rice.
Oh, I think so, too. But not because of, well, because of that indirectly. It created a genuine fecal hurricane with people like Dick Land at the Southern Baptist Convention.
What happened there?
This would be the you can't have that woman be vice president. She doesn't love the little fetuses. And just generally slammed the very idea that she would be considered. But, you know, at the end of the day, the reason that, like I said with Sandra, that's all code. Because, we're not going to work this hard to get rid of that one in the White House just to have another one heartbeat away, damn it.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it's just amazing how they hide behind their supposed love for children and, you know.
Yeah.
The food they eat and the care they require. They don't give a damn about that. They're just using that to appeal to these idiots who are anti-abortion, and they'll pick up anything. They don't care what it is. It's some type of standard that they can wave or some type of banner they can fly just so they can get themselves elected and to continue to maintain their hands on the levers of power.
Yeah.
They'll do anything. They're just totally, you know, amoral. And they are sociopathic. I think that word was mentioned in this program earlier tonight, was it not?
Yeah, and I think Friday, too.
Yeah, I think I'm the one who said that. I don't know if it's you or me, but it's just incredible how these people are, and they will stop at nothing.
Oh, no.
I mean, they will stop at absolutely nothing. They would make every horrible dictator from Hitler to Stalin to Pol Pot to Idi Amin or whomever, they would put them to shame.
And they you know, they're not bashful about it.
No, they're not. They're proud of it. Like I say, their motto is, you know, we're sharks and greed is good, and we have to keep swimming through all these things that will destroy the rest of humanity as long as it doesn't hurt us, in order for us to continue breathing.
Right.
That's what they live on, just like a shark.
Oh, and I just saw this come across my Twitter feed. I'm not sure how Sandra will feel about it, but James Carville is right there with her. He said, the only person who has seen Romney's taxes is John McCain, and he took one look and picked Sarah Palin.
How do you pay you a 280 tax return?
Yeah, 200-plus page tax returns, and McCain saw 23 years of them. And immediately picked Sarah Palin. That says more than the release of the actual documents would, Jim.
I'm surprised this guy, you know, isn't in bed with the Russian mafia, the Chinese. I wonder if he's got some type of Chinese tong sign tattooed on the back of his head and with the three sixes in the middle of it.
I don't know, but the fact of the matter is, like I was saying earlier, it turns out that his
taxes, Tony Soprano's accountant.
But the fact of the matter is, his number one donor, who was also Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, number one donor, Sheldon Adelson, it turns out is all mobbed up with the Chinese mob.
Well, I'll tell you this. He is in bed with some mean people.
Yeah.
And if he's in bed with the Chinese mob, he's in bed with the Russian mob, and also the Corsican mob. And, you know, these are not kind people, particularly when they feel like they've been double-crossed or they have not been given their due.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, I guess I've had as far as much as I can say, but I just thought I would just.
I'm proud of you for pointing out that the plates were tectonic and not Titanic, Jim.
Oh my Lord, I couldn't believe what I heard.
Did it just send you running around the room?
Well, the caller admired him for having the benefit of a college education. And this particular individual never finished college at all. And the very same caller, and I'm not going to mention any names, is supposedly one of these real upstanding members of the community, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
And a good friend of mine said, oh, God, I used to work with that son of a bitch at Montgomery Ward. And they fired him because he was taking pictures of him bare-chested and was showing it to female staff saying, I will work for sex.
Of course. Of course.
And you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah,
you know?
I do. And the has political aspirations and so forth.
You know, as in...
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
But I tell you what, it's going to be a long time before plate Titanics disappears from my vocabulary, Jim.
And don't forget, I mean, this guy loves to eavesdrop and loves to covertly listen to what other people are saying, so maybe he can use it against them. And like I said, you know, as Zorro said, I wonder how many times your nose has been broken when it's been sticking in a bedroom window.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I felt. And, you know, I just felt like, you know, I had to take a shower.
Pretty much. That's true.
It's a pity you just, well, you can still, you know, tune into it on the internet. It's never working, of course, at that place. The internet's not working, and the air conditioner's never working. And some of the stuff that comes out of these people's mouths.
It's,
and I thought to myself, are these just generally specific here? But they're not.
Do you remember when he announced that the great gigantic Walmart super galactic warehouse was going to be built? Yeah. God. What a moron.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they are. And Walmart, you know.
Like Titanics, though. I mean, that goes way, way up the hit parade.
Well, Bobby, you better watch out for those plate Titanics. I would hate to hear of your family being threatened by a big iceberg sliding right through the hollow there.
You know, I'd hate that a lot, Jim.
Well, listen, thank you for mentioning that, and thank you for taking my call. You take
care.
Well,
it's been a pleasure. You have a wonderful evening, Jim.
Yeah, you too.
Bye now. Plate Titanics. Really. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Well, hey, Juanita.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Pretty doggone good.
Well, goody.
I have about three different things I'd like to discuss, and I won't take much time with
you. You take as much time as you need.
But anyway, let's see. I'd like to talk about the Penn State deal.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the way I've been looking at it, and I know I'm suspicious-minded, but I'm wondering not just the cover-up, about the cover-up, but how many people, other people were doing the same thing there.
Right, because, I mean, there was that illusion, although it kind of disappeared fairly quickly, that there was a steady supply of these boys and that through this organization, the Second Mile Foundation, and that Jerry Sandusky was not the only one.
Yeah, well, I probably missed you talking about that. I hadn't heard anybody.
Well, that was a long time ago when the scandal was first breaking.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it just went underground or if maybe they're still working on it.
Mm.
But it was a horrifying thing even to contemplate.
Yeah, it's horrifying even if they just covered it up, but I can't believe they just covered it up. Just, you know, because, you know, that's something that many people could be kind of like, you know, you see on TV and all of it, like it's a syndicate.
Yeah.
Or something. And, you know, like before that, a congressman from Florida was exposed as loving the young interns.
Yeah.
Well, he actually was head of a committee. I watched a hearing he had about pedophilia pornography. And he had a young boy that testified there about how he had gotten into it.
Mercy sakes.
And he was head of that, Bob. Can you imagine?
Oh. Sadly, yes, I can.
And, you know, he's wanting to make a comeback.
But of course, he was a family values Republican.
Yeah.
And I think that was the first politician ever that established the Fox trend of calling someone a Democrat who was caught in flagrante delicto who was actually a Republican.
Yeah, probably.
Because I remember when they fonded him with, what was his name anyway? So-and-so D. Florida.
Oh, they did. Fox has done that a number of times.
And I think he was the first one.
Yeah. But, you know, they were talking about that they didn't want to, they wanted to act humanely toward Sandusky.
Right.
But nothing was mentioned about those children.
Yeah, nothing about being humane toward little boys who had been raped.
Right. And you know, the one boy that they had adopted finally came out and said that he had been abused. One of the sons he adopted. You heard about that?
Dear God.
Well, his mother, when he was younger, when he adopted him, she was trying to tell the people that there was something wrong with that man, and she didn't want her son to be, and they literally took that boy away from her. She didn't want him, and just condescending toward her.
Ugh.
And so now he's at first he was supposed to be supporting him, but he said he watched those others testify, and it just came back to him. But all his children are adopted, you know.
I had no idea.
Yeah. But every one of them are adopted. She couldn't, said she couldn't have children. Anyway. And I guess about Romney?
Yeah.
Have you noticed now I watch almost all of the debates, but I don't watch everything else now, you know, like all the speeches. But I have yet to hear him say, when he says he knows how to create jobs, I've yet to hear him say that's his plan for the American people and sort of what the plan is. But he just says, I know how. It doesn't mean he's going to do it, does it?
No.
But have you ever heard him say that that's his plan for the people of the United States? And all these Republicans get out and, well, it's the jobs. We need to get, you know, talking about the jobs. Well, they haven't done a blessed thing. Does that mean that they aren't important to the government? You know, like, is it like the president? He's responsible for it all?
Well, as long as he's a Democrat, yeah.
But,
no, I think Sanders got it nailed. He's just, Mitt Romney is just, whatever other words you care to use to describe him, Juanita, Mitt Romney is just nasty. I mean, he's creepy. He's icky. I mean, you know, you're looking at a photo of him, you feel like you need to go take a shower.
Well, he's, and another thing, you know, you remember how that, well, no, you don't remember because you were born, you were barely born, when Kennedy was running for president. I mean, well, you weren't even born then.
Weren't even born.
Right. Anyhow, you know, there was a big hoopla about him being a
Roman Catholic, right.
And we had people that, down here, you know, people that had been through hard times in the Depression and all. We had a few relatives. They switched over because he was Catholic. They switched to Republican, and that's where they stayed, just because he was Catholic. But we don't know now. We do know, if we pay attention, that I'm putting down Mormons. I've known some Mormons that are really nice people, but it seems to me the powers that be, they don't chastise any of these people like Beck or somebody, you know, that's in their organization, about the way they behave. And you got Orrin Hatch, he lies as much as Romney does.
Oh, Orrin Hatch. Oh, yuck.
And how do we know how much they're going to try to take over?
Well, I think we do. I mean, if we go from the premise, and I think it may be the most distilled premise that we've ever come up with, Juanita, that they want it all, then we know exactly what they'll do. It'll be like looting a city with the power out.
Yeah, yeah, and it might even be that. Might not be like that. It might be that. But, I saw a Republican, I can't remember his name, he's from Texas. He said, well, if Romney gets in, things are going to change, you know. And we're going to do away with that Obamacare. We're going to start having discussions to get something better. Oh, sure. In the meantime, you know,
yeah.
I don't know what's going to go on down here in Florida because Governor.
Oh, that place, Juanita. I never see a Florida story that I don't worry about you and Charles. Honest to God, and
well, we've already been affected about it. But
yeah, and I mean, you know, we've got a lot of Horn listeners in Florida, and I think of every last one of you every time I see one of these. For instance, the Florida Supreme Court. See how you laugh just at the mention of Florida Supreme Court?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. there's a drug possession law in Florida that literally turns the Constitution of the United States on its ear. Because this drug possession law says that the defendant in a criminal drug possession case has to prove that they didn't know they were carrying an illegal substance. Well, the very essence of criminal law in this country is that you are presumed innocent until proven guilty. You can't burden shift like this, and ordinarily you'd look at it and say, well, those idiots on the Supreme Court, this will be an easy 9-0 slam dunk in Washington. But we don't have that anymore. We don't have a legitimate exerciser of jurisprudential power in Washington anymore. And I'm sure that Fat Tony Scalia and Sammy Alito and Slappy Thomas and that dead-eyed John Roberts will have no problem whatsoever saying that that's perfectly all right for Florida to do.
Well, has it already come through down here and...
Well, I mean,
taking it to the Supreme Court.
It has to go to the Supreme Court next because it's a ruling from the highest court in the state of Florida.
Okay. Well, what can I say? you know that he's right before the Supreme Court came out saying, you know, what they did about the Obamacare, or. He said he had turned down a bunch of Medicaid payments. So he's turning down the plan too, Obama plan. So I don't know what's going to happen because, you know, we've got a lot of those Advantage plans down here, which I have one. And the Republicans didn't even try to balance that. You know, when they put it in place, that along with the prescription, and that prescription thing really has helped me, but the people that had to pay when they got to that hole, now it's starting to close up with Obamacare. What's going to happen after they get rid of it? And, you know, we... People need to realize, it's like I was telling Charles about, I said, I know there's some lousy Democrats, and there's some, and they're not really Democrats. But of all the Republicans, I can't think of one of them that really wants to help us.
No.
But I can think of quite a few Democrats that do. And until we get something,
and see, that's it. You've just nailed it. You've just nailed it, Juanita. That's why I have such a problem when I hear these blanket condemnations of the Democratic Party as being as bad as, you know, or, you know, they all do it. It's not true.
No.
There are a lot of bad Democrats out there, but
yeah,
there are some good
Absolutely.
Ones.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, we need more good ones, less bad
yeah.
ones.
Yeah.
But it is a republic. That is a Republican ploy from the get-go, Juanita,
yeah.
to discourage people from going to the polls and actually believing in process. So yeah.
Yeah, they. Well, I want to get to something that's a little more, I think, pleasant.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. One time I called you and I'm very ignorant about. Evolution, but they had this program on the Channel 3, the PBS, about it, and it's just like, I just all of a sudden I understood it quite a bit about it. And it's like we have everything that all the other animals have, but everything is not preponderant in our life, right? Am I saying that right?
Yes.
And I was like going out the door the other day, and I had a cat. One of my cats was up on this big box I got sitting there. And I was going to the kitchen, and the by the time I got to the kitchen, the cat was already there. And I think about how amazing, you know, they are. They're how high they can jump and how fast they can just kind of trot along. You're not really running. And I think, boy, we could use some of that. If there'd be any way to develop that in our
son. Yeah, but we, evolutionarily, we traded it all out for our big brains.
Now, Charles said that it could be that that was a trade-off for them not living as long.
Could
Does
be.
That make sense?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
But I don't know. I just was thinking. I think about things like that.
Same thing happens to me, Juanita. I think about all kinds of bizarre stuff. I try, you know, some of it, a lot of it doesn't make the show, but no, my mind runs the same way.
Yeah. And I had another thing happen. I just mentioned this and I'll shut up. But anyway, I had a neighbor that passed away, and they have the thing about the way it used to be, like even I can remember when I was little going to a funeral and they had the body at the home.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember anything like that?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So anyway, she had passed and they were going to have her body at home. And, okay, now what was I going to talk about now? Dadgummit.
I hate it when that happens.
The connection.
Well, you got some fan mail in from Jim. He said to Juanita, a big meow from Rupert and the Shady Lady. So.
The Shady Lady?
Yeah, though, that's
that.
Jim's cat.
Rupert?
Yep.
Did he name him after that guy?
I don't know.
Rupert
No. I don't think he's named after Murdoch. No. Jim would never do something that cruel to a cat.
Well, I've got four left. I've got Domino. He's black. He's big and black. Got green eyes. And he's got little patches of white under his chin. That's why I call him Domino. And then got three little girls. We got one of them's Raven. She's solid black and got the yellow colored eyes. And then I've got two tabbies that one of them is Deedle. And she had a sister named Dumpkin. They both of them had babies, and she lost all of hers. But anyway, the other one is Annie. We had about five of hers, and they were all like little jackrabbit puppies.
Yeah.
And she still is. And she, when she eats, she coos like a dove. I know what I was going to say about my neighbor, about I go over there the other day and to talk to her daughter, and her daughter and I used to buddy around, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's another girl I had grown up with, but she, you know, we were in the same we were in different wavelengths or something like that, but I had buddied around with her sister, some of her sisters. She has a big family. Anyway, I was talking about all that stuff about IDs for getting driver's license now.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, this friend of mine, she said, kept saying, not the one that lost her mother, but the other, she kept saying, well, I think they have a good reason for that. I think that just kind of irritated me. And I said, no, that's it. They want everybody that's living here to think alike. What are you talking about? And I said, well, people like me, they want to kill me because I don't think like they do. And they don't, she said, what? And I thought, why did I say that? Am I bad?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
But I think about, I mean, she's really a nice person. I think about so many people just don't know what's going on.
No, they don't. And we had, you know, it's like Sandra was talking about with the Social Security cap. There's tons of people out there that don't even know that, Juanita. And you know, that's dangerous because...
Yes, it is.
We know about it, and we just assume that because we're plugged in and paying attention that everybody else is too.
Yeah.
But there's more people that know that Steven Tyler is leaving Who Wants to Be an Idol or whatever it was, then know about the Social Security cap. It's the truth. By the way, Jim just told me, Rupert is named for Rupert Brooke, the English writer and poet killed in World War I.
Oh, I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
Rupert Brooke?
Mm-hmm. B-R-O-O-K-E.
Okay.
And by the way, thanks so much for sending along that USA Today article that focused on Jim Justice. I never would have seen it otherwise.
Well, you know, I didn't know.
But I mean,
did
you just find that disgusting when you read it?
Oh yeah, what is it? The Hudson? What is it? Hubris?
Hubris? Yes.
Hubris. Anyway, when I heard you talking, and I hadn't heard the program for quite a while, and I heard you talking about that, and I thought, well, I gotta look and see if there's anything on the internet about that that's halfway true. And I just so happened to find that. But you know, they were supposed to have a golf tournament in Maryland. And they canceled theirs.
Did they really?
Yes, they did. At the same time, another golf tournament. Several states were involved in that storm.
Oh, yeah. It's fascinating. Over on my Facebook page, Tim from L.A. put an animated piece of radar up that shows that storm coming across the country. Oh, my God, it's terrifying just to look at it.
Yeah.
It's just all red and black, and it looks like it's on fire.
I've never heard that kind of storm before. I've never heard of that kind of storm before.
Well, it was pretty new to us, too.
Yeah.
Well, Anita,
I
got to get out of here, but it's awful good to talk to you.
You too, and I love y'all, and you take care. And I hope Agnes is doing good now.
Oh, she's
she's had all of her surgeries and all.
Yeah, she's feeling pretty chipper.
They did hip her, huh?
Yeah, they did.
Good. Okay.
All right, you take care, Juanita. Bye now.
Bye bye.
Juanita calling from Central Florida. About 3.5 minutes before the hour, time to get out of here. Another one of those where does the time go moments. Thanks, everybody, for joining in for this Moran Monday. We'll be back tomorrow evening. And, you know, we never have come up with a name for Tuesday, but, well, whatever it is, we'll do it. And I hope you'll join in. Great crowd in the chat room this evening, so thanks for keeping it so busy in there. And thanks to everybody who keeps all of this going. Fundraising never stops here. I don't like it, but it never. I don't like talking about it, but it never stops. And thank you for the contributions that came in this evening. We got I spent the weekend paying bills, and we got more to pay. I think John Fox told me we've got to pay the chat room annual bill by the 27th of July, and that's around. It's $125, so we got to raise that up fairly quickly. Any help you can kick in is much appreciated. Hey, I like that. I like that, Benedict. Titanic Tuesday, especially with those Titanic plates. Jesus, idiots. But thanks to everybody. Thanks to you all. Your contributions of both your financial support and your idea support. And your precious finite time support. Thank you. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky in the chat room, our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thank you to our blogger, Texas Betsy. Thanks to John Fox for all the work he's been doing, and it has been a bunch. And thanks, of course, to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. And then again, thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and most importantly, Stop the Ache, StopTheAche.org. Go there and learn what you can do to help end Appalachia's agony. StopTheAche.org. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.